This is PFW in Progress.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear. When I do, it's usually something unusual.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy in Big Toe.
Paul Perillo.
You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do. No. Yeah, I do. Anyway, I went to this doctor. Well, he told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you, homosexual?
You mean like flaming or...
Andy Hart.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Yeah, would they send us someplace special?
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women. Because that's why my guys in my car club call me the cruiser.
You should call them the
Thor. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Okay, I know you're anxious to jump right in and start speaking English. So how many of you would say you speak English fairly well, but with some difficulty? Yes, you speak some English.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is time to talk Patriots as we do every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday on PFW in Progress. And that was more like it. A big win for the Patriots. Wasn't exactly the type of game that I think most people expected, but it was great entertainment, and it was good to have a win on the road. You never know what you're going to get when you play a team that you don't see a lot. Last time the Patriots played the Seahawks, what was it, 1993, I think, or something like that? It was a long time.
I think that was the last time they traveled there.
Yeah, right. They played here in 2005. I forget. Anyway, but it's been a while since we've been to Seattle. I know I've never been there, so and I've been here for a long time. So it was good to get the win. Where is everybody, Dan? Do you know? Any idea? Shrugging his shoulders. All right. Paul and Andy will be down. Eric is over on the West Coast, so at some point he might be calling in. But we'll take your emails at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And I have to say right off the bat, Seattle's a nice little city. It's not a huge city. We walked a lot of it, and we'll have stories to tell from our 2 days in Seattle. It's very hilly, much like San Francisco. And Paul had a kind of a tough time, so we'll talk about that. Oh, here he is right now. Here they come.
What did I have a tough time with?
It's blue shirt day, I guess, at PFW. Everybody's got some form of blue shirt on.
What did I have a tough time with?
Walking the hills of Seattle.
No more so than you, my friend.
My friend.
Eric's not here. I thought we needed an air of pomposity.
No. So God, what's going on? Where were you?
Well, I didn't. He was just finishing up PFW and Ask PFW.
Fred, as you would say, this is PFW in Progress. It's a small portion of our workday. I had to get PFW posted.
It's a small portion of a workday? You couldn't make time for a small portion of your workday?
I was posting, and I didn't know it was as late as it was.
What is that?
I guess there's some pictures going around the internet of Paul Perillo at a Bill Belichick press conference.
Embarrassing. The things you'll go through to get
pasted up on the glass here.
I mean, it's embarrassing.
He's
everywhere. All you had to do was duck. That's what I did.
You can see a camera. It's pointed at the coach. If you're between the coach and the camera, duck.
I did
duck. But Paul's like, hey, I need
to. I did duck until I got to the end of the row and started. You can see I'm walking out there.
I can see you're still between the camera and Bill Belichick.
Yeah, well, that's
actually blocking him out.
That's a camera on the side. I can't believe that's fifth quarter. I mean,
yeah, that was their camera.
They're the first ones in there. Why are they way over on the side?
They always do so they can see.
So you walked in front of the camera during TV?
Evidently.
Paul, what are you doing? You're a pro. You know better than that.
I told you.
When the red light's on, that means it's rolling.
He knew exactly what he was doing, Fred. He wanted to get on TV.
Really?
That's ridiculous.
Is that right?
That's prime time right there. You know what companies pay to put their faces on that?
That's huge. We should put an ad on it.
You need to sell advertising on your forehead.
Right.
Well, all I can tell you
sell
is
about six.
Or on the bald spot.
I ducked down to get out of the way.
It's one in the same.
Unbelievable.
It's just an ongoing assault.
It's just tag teaming.
It's like the assault vehicle.
Oh, my God.
What am I going to do? I'm bald.
It's funny. This interrupted the pictures of you butting in front of Bill interrupted us making fun of you for being fat and not being able to walk the hills. So you want to go back to that?
Being late.
Oh, yeah, sure. Or us being late.
Right.
Yeah.
The PFW's up, though.
That's good.
Seattle.
Patriots.com.
Seattle was very hilly.
Sure up.
Yes, yes.
That's not in the brochures. No one ever tells you that Seattle, I think it's more hilly than San Francisco. Those were steep hills.
Very steep.
There may not be as many of them and spread out or whatever,
Fred, you
but
were,
that area.
You were, wheezing, you were wheezing a little bit.
Sure.
You got the elevator
the
to go
fourth,
up
third
that night.
Block. Now, I got a little sweaty.
Yeah. I mean,
I was a little clammy, as they say.
That was a steep trek.
And Andy admitted the same. So
oh,
don't
yeah.
Let him, don't let him pass himself off as
those
being
were
in
hills.
Shape
those were Tour de France quality hills.
No, you know, like you're like on a, you know, those Stairmasters. That's what it was
same
like.
Thing.
It was climbing a steep set of stairs. So
it's a good time, though.
Yeah.
Saw some
we
fish fly.
That.
Guys yeah, catching
we went
fish.
Down to the touristy stuff at the marketplace.
Now, there were fish a lot of Patriots fans in Seattle. And
yes.
I guess the day of the game, they had about 500 people.
Oh, nice.
At
that velo blew off.
And I got in trouble.
Oh, why?
I'm getting yelled at.
Because Mr. Kraft ended up going and there was no one there.
And no one was there. So I'm in hot water.
Okay. Well, can you do something to get out of hot water?
Can you turn down the thermostat for us?
Not really. No, I'm screwed.
That's not what we're looking for.
No. So,
Fred, we can only save your ass so many times.
It hasn't been a good 2 days.
I'll tell you know what it really is time for? The season to end so we can really punch up that resume and figure out where the hell we're going.
What'd yeah. you do?
What?
Well, what happened?
We didn't have coverage. Kraft Sports Production wasn't there, and we didn't have a writer there, and we didn't have a photographer there. So I'm in trouble.
Should
can
I
we
not
pretend?
Tell Mr. Kraft that I have radio obligations to do when I couldn't cover it? It's probably not a good excuse, huh?
Yeah, so. So what are you guys doing? You're eating food and lounging and
I was working on the preview.
I had no excuse. No excuse.
I was working on the preview too, I guess, even though I had
we were technically working
the vast majority of it done.
So if anyone's out there that was at the Seattle gathering and you have any good pictures,
send them
my way.
Print quality, preferably. First down gets larger, Paul.
Yeah.
Please, get somebody send photos if you'd like this radio program and paper to continue.
That's right. So,
did they enjoy it? Have you gotten any emails from the fans that saw him?
No, I haven't.
With him? No.
I haven't. But hopefully we'll get some.
Now, did you mention that we attended the Saturday night soiree at
that
the Owl
wasn't
going to
do
Thistle?
Much good. But for this show, I can mention it. Yeah. We were there.
Is he really mad?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's pissed.
That's something I think we should talk about off the air.
So,
yeah, the Owl and Thistle was good with probably 40, 50 people there.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And I'm sure most of those people were right. at the thing the next day. But Chris Porter from Seattle was the organizer of both events. And I guess on the Sunday event, they had a stage. They had everything. It was all set up.
Well, he said that's his profession. He sets up some big music festival.
In the park or something.
So I guess they did a really good job. And all those guys saw a good game because it was great entertainment.
And got the outcome they wanted.
It was a very entertaining game.
Yeah.
A very evenly played, entertaining game.
Surprisingly,
I mean, none of us really expected it to be that way. But
we kind of did before we knew Seneca Wallace was going to play. But then
made
some plays.
Not in the style that it ended up being. I thought it was going to be a shootout if
right.
Hasselbeck had played.
Right.
And, you know, both sides had some periods where they were successful offensively, and both defenses had periods where they were successful. You know, Seattle's defense, I thought, played out of its mind.
I agree.
I mean, for as bad as they've been all year, for them to have made it that difficult on the Patriots, I was really surprised by that.
Well, I you know, Patriots often throw on first down. That's nothing new. But they were going a little bit more moderate range passing on first down. There was a lot of incompletes.
Everything was short because of the blitzing.
You know, there was a lot of second and tens in this game for the Patriots, and I think that hurt them early on to try to get a rhythm.
Well, all game. I thought, like I said, I thought Seattle's defense was really really played well. I mean, they're bad defense. It's not like they're, you know, they've been kind of up and down. They're like 29th.
Dead last against the pass.
Dead last against the pass, 29th overall. I mean, they're 2-11 for a reason. They can't stop anybody.
They also had long, there were, three third and longs on the last drive, or at least two. So it's not, they just started making them. They started completing them, but you know, they were in long yarded situations on second and third
down. The Patriots
down.
Were.
Yeah,
yeah,
for a lot of the day.
Yes.
Yeah, and even right down to the last, the goal to go.
And Seattle sold out. I mean, they just said, we're going to bring pressure.
Right.
If we get blown out because we get burnt by plays, okay. But that didn't end up happening. And it sounds like they were creative. I'm not, You know, I haven't watched the film, but I know Mankin said it seemed like there was a different blitz almost every snap. It was coming from different ways. So they just threw it all at him and said, let's see what happens.
And you know that old adage that Bill always talks about, look, when you're really good defensively, you don't have to do a lot of that stuff because you're good enough to just stop them by playing your straight-up base defense. Well, Seattle obviously isn't good enough to do that, and they did the opposite where they blitzed. I think Bill estimated at least two-thirds of the time. You know, that's what you have to do when you don't have the players to line up man on man and win battles.
And Belichick said that, you know, over the week that they did, you know, work on picking up blitz and blitz coverage and all that stuff. So it's not like they were unprepared for
it. And it wasn't a disaster by any means.
But I don't think that they expected the frequency of what
I think that they saw what Pittsburgh did the week before.
I think what they say, 67% of the plays they blitzed on.
Yes.
So what yes?
Yes, you're right. So 67% is another way of saying two-thirds of the time. You are correct.
Which Paul said the sentence before you started speaking.
So I mean, I guess that's a lot.
There would be no math.
You know, and
And
Castle, I think, did a great job. You know, a lot of times just holding on to the ball to the very last second and getting it out there. What they have three sacks.
Yes,
three sacks and several others that.
He had a lot of hits.
Yeah, he had a throw before he wanted.
He made
to.
Some plays under pressure. I thought some of the times he looked like Castle from 2 months ago, where he kind of got a little frazzled.
He got bailed out a couple of times.
Had some throws that were Wes Welker was wide open in the middle of the field a couple times where he short hopped it and couldn't get it to him. But I mean, that happens when you're getting when the guys are trying to pressure you.
And he even had some completions that I thought he looked like Castle 2 months ago, where he just kind of threw it up for grabs. It was going end over end, and
I thought the game was kind of his season squished into a
game. He had one to Gaffney that looked like he just said, I'm not going to get hit on this one. I'm throwing it, and it ended up going right to Gaffney. It was almost like
he was actually more accurate when it was going end over end on the day.
The one to Welker that ended up being a kickoff. I mean, he got hit as he threw that one, so I don't really blame Castle for that one. But the one to Welker, he just threw it and it was going end over end. I don't know what happened on that one.
You know, it's good for Castle. This is more in his experience to see have a game like this and have to go through that and just to experience it. This is going to help him, whether it's for the Patriots next year or for some other team.
And it's good for his resume, too, to put together a game-winning drive late after having some struggles with the pressure.
On
the
road,
and
I know that they're not a good team, but that was a pretty hostile environment.
Yeah, they were loud.
And they did what bad teams need to have success early. You know that. Down the stretch in an NFL season, that's why they always say a fast start. Let's get out to a fast start. Let's bury them. Let's not give them any hope. Just the same thing is going to be said this Sunday. If the Patriots can go out there and get a drive together, go up 7-0, they're probably, you'll be looking for me for the nod, Fred. I'll be giving it.
The difference is the Seahawks clearly have pride. They played with pride.
But I'm saying they also.
I don't think the Raiders have pride.
They played with pride, but they got a 3-and-out to start the game, or if maybe the first down and then a 3-and-out for a punt. And then they went down 87 yards for a touchdown.
Right, but I
so
I
you
think
can go you can go into the game with pride, but then give up an 80-yard touchdown drive to open the game, then go 3-and-out, and the game's over. You're not going to have much pride from there on in.
I thought they showed a lot of pride throughout, and I didn't think it was always easy. I think when the Patriots closed it to 14-13, I believe.
Oh no,
and
I
then they drive right down the field. And
I
go
thought they played with pride the whole game.
That was
even
the time
on the last
we
drive.
We're going to lose this. They're going to come back eventually. Why don't we just pack it in and go home?
But
they,
I think
they
it
played with
had
pride.
The adversity come early. I don't think they would have played hard the whole.
I'm
way.
Not so sure.
That's
I earned a lot
I'm
of
saying.
Respect for that team. I earned a lot of respect for that team the way they played.
Now
the
even the last drive after the Patriots took the lead, they got to the 43-yard line.
Right,
Seneca Wallace.
You know, with that big run, that was a great run by Wallace.
Yep. He impressed me. He's the opposite of guys that have fallen on their face. When I see him, I thought he played pretty well.
He was a lot better than I was expecting.
Yep.
I thought he missed a couple of throws, but I thought he made more than he missed.
Yep.
And they weren't all easy.
Well, and, the big play at the end with Brandon Merriweather, Wallace said, hey, look, we just didn't have an answer for it.
We didn't have a timeout, and we had no way to block. I mean, they had four backup linemen.
I thought that was fascinating
playing.
That they called that play three times. Twice they called timeout, and the other time they didn't have a timeout, and the play ends up winning the game for you. I think that's really interesting.
It does beg the question that when you called those two timeouts, at any point on the sideline, did you guys say, okay, in case that happens again, let's do this?
But I think it was the look, on those other timeouts, if they hadn't called, maybe it wasn't Merriweather who was going to come.
No, but you can take him for his word or not. He seemed to know what was going to happen on that play based on what he said.
Well, it was a
there
look.
There was nothing
that,
they could do to stop it.
Yeah. No, they should have had, some type of audible that he can call when he sees the look that.
Right. Especially as Paul said, when you got caught with your pants down twice previously,
And there were four backup offensive linemen playing in the game. Now, my guess is that one of those guys probably missed his assignment, not his block. there's a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, someone blocked someone they shouldn't have been blocking and let Merriweather go
up front. It was essentially a preseason game. Patriots backups versus their backups and some veterans who were just off the street. I mean, it was...
Well, we need to talk about the injuries and status of that.
State of the defense.
Just a little breaking news. I don't know
breaking
if people
news.
Knew, but for your TV or game attendance planning purposes, there will be no more flex games for the Patriots. The Arizona game is going to stay where it is.
At one?
Yep.
Oh, that's a big break. I'm stunned by that.
And, you know, the word isn't out on the Buffalo game yet, but I would imagine since Buffalo's so out of it, that game won't change either.
I am stunned by that. I thought for sure it was a 4 o'clock game because the notice that you gave me 2 weeks ago, just to let the people know a little
it
bit
was,
of
it was,
some of the machinations
it was one
that
they
go
were
on.
Considering.
There were three. Yeah. There were four games they were considering moving to the night game. Now, clearly, the bet, I don't know what they took for the option, but clearly the best option was Carolina at the Giants.
Right.
Now, I would guess that's the one. That could be for the number one seed in the NFC.
Right.
So I would guess that's the one they're going to choose. But there were also three other games that were candidates to be moved for 4 o'clock, and they said two of those were going to be moved, and the Patriots were one of those as well. So I thought for sure that they would be moved to 4 o'clock. But that's good news.
That's
Sunday
good news.
At 1.
Very good news. Anytime you can get a Sunday at 1 game, it's good stuff.
Especially at home.
Especially right before Christmas. may have shopping to do.
So Patriots win. They keep hope alive here. They still need help. Even if they went out,
it's another one of those flashback wins, Freddie, huh?
Yeah, they
calling on the, you know, that like mental toughness,
right.
like the old days. That was a great win.
It was.
That was a great win.
But it did not come without a price. And,
Pyrrhic victory, if you will.
And Wilfork went out early with a shoulder injury. He is still on the West Coast, so we would assume that if it was severe, he would have to come back here for X-rays or tests or whatever. So who knows what that is? Bruschi, on the other hand, reports have it that he did come back with the team, and he's in Boston for tests. So we don't know what that means at this point.
Well,
we know it's a left knee injury.
There's already reports that he's done. He's going on IR.
Okay. Well, that could be.
This no, I know. It's been the Boston Herald inches. Reported this morning that it's not a devastating injury, but it's like a month and. When you have three games to play, like a month means you're done for the season.
So it could be like an MCL or something like that?
Probably a sprain. I bet you it's a sprained knee. Yeah.
Because I saw the
Don't
picture.
Don't you think, Andy? And 3 to 4 weeks. Is that like a sprained
MCL?
MCL
could be, but I have no
Mike Richardson, idea. His shoulder pad went right into Bruschi's knee.
Now, is this the same knee he's been on the injury report with?
Yes. According to that same report.
Exacerbated an injury.
The only thing I'll say about the IR portion is they had a league source that said that he returned to Boston and that it's the same knee as he injured before, and it's about a 3 to 4 week injury. That's where the league source stuff stopped, and then it was the writer writing,
right.
That likely means he'll be placed on IR. Now, I agree that it likely means he'll be placed on IR, but there's no sources involved with that. That was kind of where the writer is just talking about it.
Pierre Woods is still on the roster, right?
Yes.
Couldn't they place him on IR? And slide Bruschi into that we'll-wait-and-see role that they've had for a linebacker for, like, the last 2 months?
Yeah.
Well, maybe Pierre, they know in a couple weeks he'll be okay.
No, but which
guy
would you rather have back
be
if
okay
you sneak into the
in
postseason?
Yeah.
If you make the wild card game, would you rather have Pierre Woods or Teddy Bruschi? Assuming
that's
why
I was a little surprised they went with Thomas on this one over Woods, because I thought if both of those guys are available for the postseason, even if there's a 10% chance for either one of them,
you take the impact guy.
Right.
You know, it's worth holding out for the guy that could help you.
Right. Well, we don't know. That's what the report is. So we're not here confirming that he's done for the season by any means. We just don't know at this point.
But we do know that he came back.
Yeah.
And that's got to mean at the very minimum he's not playing in Oakland.
Yeah.
So we'll see where it goes from there. I talked to Teddy real quickly, and he seemed like he was in decent spirits. Like we were going through the security line together, and I asked him if he was done, and he said, "I I'm okay." And he didn't really want to get into that. So, but he was, he was in reasonably good spirits, and he didn't need crutches or anything. He was walking on his own power.
Yeah. So maybe he was just taking an advantage to go home and do some Christmas shopping. Who knows?
Have you seen Bass Pro?
So. And then James Sanders had what was reported as a rib injury. Do we know anything on that?
He talked about it and said that it was an injury he had coming in that actually felt worse and kind of worsened as the game went on.
Did you find that a little odd that he was as forthcoming about that as he was?
He's a good guy, Paul. He's pretty forthcoming.
That's not the answer.
Not the question. Sure.
I was a little surprised by that. I don't think he said anything that was wrong, but I just judging by the way they normally do things here, I was a little surprised to say that he'd been dealing with it, blah, blah, blah.
Wasn't on the injury report.
It's another element, but I don't really care about that.
No, I know you don't, but sometimes the league
finds
these little things that they decide we're going to call you on.
I was more surprised by the element of what did Bill think about that. I don't think he likes that all that much.
Maybe Sanders doesn't care.
He was going to be a free agent, right?
No, next year.
This isn't his fourth year?
But he probably has a five-year
deal. So James sends us
a fourth-round pick. You'd only get a four-year deal, but you might be right.
James sends us one picture of Mosey Tatupu at the gathering I was talking about Sunday.
Yeah,
that's great.
Any shots of Mr. Kraft?
That's a good start. I'm looking for the big cheese, though.
He's looking to
maybe
save his
Photoshop
ass.
Maybe something.
So,
just go with the white shirt with the blue shirt with the white collar.
I'm sure we'll get some more. So, I know our listeners and fans will come through for me in this time of
for
need.
Me in this time.
He's struggling. Freddie's struggling. We need a little help here.
All right. Web radio at patriots.com.
I got big news, Freddie.
What's that?
Big news.
What's?
I went Christmas shopping yesterday.
Yeah.
Andy wore me down.
Yeah.
I bit the bullet.
Yeah.
I got the big one.
The what?
The video camera.
Sooner or later, he's going to tell you, what the hell are you talking about?
I figured, we did talk about it last week. That's
so
true.
So you
he
got
already,
a video
he already forgot that I said two-thirds of the time. I got the HD one.
Oh.
Which was more than a little more
well,
than I wanted to spend.
You got two
like
kids.
$300 more, maybe?
You got two kids. No. It's a good investment, you know?
More like $700 more than I wanted to spend.
Yeah. How much did you spend? $1,000?
Nine.
Holy Moses.
You got two. It's a good investment.
It's got a hard drive, too, though.
It's got a hard drive.
Hard drive and HD.
Nice.
Is that
how
good?
Big's the hard drive?
I don't know.
Well, you got to know that.
Why would make you think I would?
Why
now,
does it need to
know?
Does
it say how many hours that it holds or anything?
How long you can tape?
Yeah.
3 hours.
Oh, that's great. So it's got a pretty big hard drive.
But let me ask you this. Now, I'm guessing that you just kind of like you make individual files and then you can put them on your computer.
Yeah.
And then you clear them off your hard drive on
sure,
your camera,
of course.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you can burn CDs off the computer
that's right.
DVDs or whatever. And,
that's right.
Okay. So, yeah. I mean, that's how I figured it worked.
Yeah.
That'll be all up to
you. You have a computer
I'll
or
never
no?
use it. Yes, Fred, I have a computer at home.
Okay, just making sure, because you need that.
Okay, thanks. I have that covered then.
All right. You guys have the internet?
We do have
over
the internet.
Over in Peabody? You know what Skype
it's
is?
It's actually high speed, unlike the internet here at the stadium.
Wow. Shot cool. at the stadium.
All right, what did you guys think about the play of Roosevelt, Colvin, and Junior Seau first time back?
I thought Colvin, I didn't see do anything, and I thought Seau struggled.
Well, I saw Colvin get into the backfield and complain about being held a couple times. So...
I think,
guess, according to Belichick, the refs were letting the guys play.
I liked that.
That
the
they
way
weren't.
The way he talked about that yesterday. Yeah. Although there were like six or seven penalties on Seattle and one on the Patriots. But
I think he said it was both ways. They called
no,
it
I know. But I mean, I think it's easy to be magnanimous about it when it's six or seven one way and one on the other.
Oh. I still got to figure out how I'm going to have
don't
my first
think?
Bowel move.
Well, I don't know. I thought it was – you saw the more egregious penalties on the Patriots than Seattle?
No, I didn't see necessarily penalties on either team that went uncalled. I saw a ridiculously bad couple of calls on Seattle. The defensive holding on the defensive lineman needs to stop. When a nose tackle occupies blockers, that's not holding.
Right.
And that's like three games in a row we've seen that called on defensive linemen. I don't really understand with that. And I thought the pass interference was very ticky-tack on Marcus.
The one on Moss?
Yeah. Very
well, he definitely...
Moss put his arm on his chest
but
never took it down.
But what Trufant did is he just kept running Moss toward the sideline and never
but
looked
back.
But
he was getting held by Moss.
But he just...
He couldn't get away.
He ran him off the field and never looked back for the ball. And you know, they're always going to call that.
I think it was a bad call.
I think it's a consistent call with how they call pass
interference. I'm defending the Patriots. But that was about it. I didn't really see a lot of... I know people that was... The long catch to Branch... Lee Kevin Smith, I think, was coming around the corner and kind of got hogtied a little bit. That was probably a hold that they missed. So there's a call that I thought they missed. But I think Bill's explanation of that was that you know that there was probably a lot both ways that they let go and
there was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
That was the way the game was being called.
I
sort of agree with that. They you know there's always calls that can be made. But overall, again, I can't get beyond the fact that. The defense lost all these players and seemed to play better as the game went on, you know, and that's a testament to those guys.
I think they took more chances as the game went on.
I think, again, they had to.
Yeah.
I think if they played straight up defense all day, I don't think they would have stopped them. And yeah. I think Bill recognized
some
that.
Of us have kind of been arguing that maybe they had to earlier in the
right.
season. Maybe they should have been kind more
of my point.
We've been talking about it a lot. And here, our listeners certainly write in, why are they not getting more aggressive with the pass rush? They only had one sack on Sunday in a 1 year game.
Yeah. Well, on the phone right now is Shannon from Seattle. Shannon, how you doing?
Long time no talk to. How you guys doing?
Good.
Had a blast at Quest Field for the Pats game. It was pretty cool.
Now, were you at the thing Sunday morning?
No. I cruised up and circled the stadium for about an hour trying to find a parking spot. So, no, I was doing my own tailgate, and then I just showed up to the game.
So it was a good time.
I didn't even know what the thing was. I kind of get down late on that. But cool thing was, I thought, you know, since Lofa plays for the Seahawks, I'd wear my throwback Mosey Tatupu jersey, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting down there, we're in the north end zone, the very front row, and the club seats are underneath us, and I hear this yelling before the game at me. I look over, and there's some older Samoan lady kind of getting my attention, like, who the heck is that? And she turns around, she's got a Mama T jersey on, right? It's Lofa's mom and their whole family. They're sitting there waving at me, taking pictures and stuff. It was pretty cool.
So nice.
I actually didn't get harassed too bad because I think of the Tatupu connection, but... So that and all together and them punching in the final go-ahead touchdown right in front of me, about 10 feet in front of me, was awfully cool. But hope you guys had a good time and were treated well in Seattle. I just wanted to call in and chime in real quick. So,
well, we appreciate the call
in. Dolphins stink and so do the Jets. Go Pats.
You got it.
Nice. All right. Shannon. I like that. I like that solid hatred. I like it.
Shannon like from it. Seattle. Calling in.
I would say yes all the way around, by the
Embrace
way.
Embrace the hate and 08, baby.
We all enjoyed Seattle. We all enjoyed the stadium, and we were all treated well.
Yeah.
So I think there's yes all around.
I think they're mostly nice people there.
Yeah, I think their reputation as a great, loud crowd, I don't think it includes that.
It's fun.
Oakland
it's fun
fear,
loud.
Buffalo, they're going to throw stuff at you.
Right.
I think they were just enthusiastic.
They support their own
into
team
the game.
Right.
And can we deal with others.
Fun fact. That's right. So,
stadium, beautiful, by the way.
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting stadium.
Maybe the nicest outdoor stadium.
I might
be at top of my list.
Yeah, I made a comment to Andy during the game. I'm going to have to update my top five because I think I have like 8 stadiums now that are in my top five. That's the first time I was at this one, and I was blown away. I'll tell you, when we walked in, we had to walk across the end zone too, so we got a chance to go right inside on the field, and that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's cool. The lines are cool. The way it's there's a lot to look at.
And I like the way they have the little roofs overhanging on the side.
Well, they need that because it rains every day.
Well, it also helps the noise.
For the noise, yeah. It also bounces the noise back to the field. But I also think it's one of those places where it has a lot of different kinds of seats, different luxury boxes, club
seats. The Hawks Nest thing is tremendous.
The Hawks Nest
might be the best one
of
those
zone.
Kinds of things. You know, the little gimmicks like the dog pound in Cleveland, you know, like the ship in Tampa's not really seedy. But all those little gimmicks, that might be the best out of all the teams
very nice
that we've
place.
Seen.
Yep.
Big fan.
Although I would be a little afraid to be up high in that Hawks.
Yeah,
place.
it looked awful
very
steep,
didn't it?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's any more steep than any of the other ones.
And I'm
it just looks
in some other places.
It narrows as it gets up there.
Yeah. And it's very small, so I think you could probably get away with
and
it.
And it's not attached,
it's
so
not
it kind of looks like a good stiff wind could blow it over.
Yeah.
There's not that many seats in there, so I think that might be a little steeper than normal concourses.
Right.
I also like their stainless steel Seahawk that they come out of. Did
you
see
that was cool, too.
Most
rolls
places
out.
Have, like, a blow-up thing.
Right, right.
Theirs was made out of, like, steel.
Yeah.
Like, brushed steel or whatever you
brushed
call it.
Brushed nickel.
Yeah.
And Andy was very excited to see the mascot riding around pregame on a scooter.
On a scooter.
Okay.
They had a band. They had drums. Yeah. They had it all.
The only thing was...
Except a victory.
Why food, don't we do stuff like that
the
here?
The food wasn't so good.
I think we ask you that now. Don't
either,
we?
Either you or Doc.
We have anything special for the Arizona game being planned? Last home game?
No.
Yeah, the
no?
cheerleaders are going to put Santa Claus hats on.
The cheerleaders there wore multiple uniforms.
Yeah.
It changes all
Eric's
the time.
Eric's going to sing the national anthem.
No. Eric, okay.
Where is Eric?
I don't know. Where is he?
Sleeping.
Oh, say can you see.
He's a warbler.
Eric really enjoyed himself in Seattle because... He played one of the guys with us and came out and walked around with us and then went off and did his own thing with taking pictures. He visited
he went
some
to the
artifact
space,
shop.
And he went to the Space Needle.
The Space Needle. Yep. Went to a coffee shop and bought an autographed copy
the
of
first,
some book he
the
wanted.
The first ever Starbucks.
I mean, he was very excited. He very excited.
And then he met back with us.
Because, you know, they're okay with alternative
lifestyles. To watch the Alabama-Florida game, which we went to the Fox Sports Grill.
Yeah, I was disappointed.
Well, I'm not surprised by that.
There was nothing distinctive about it.
What made it Fox?
Right. What makes it? It was just a restaurant. There was nothing about it that made it Fox.
I go to a restaurant for the food and the food delivered. That's all.
And
I
it was nice. Just because it didn't have flashing Fox signs like in your eyes all the time.
I just think, you know.
Fat guy just wants food. I got my food. I was happy.
Okay. But, you know, you could have done that anywhere.
No, I couldn't have.
Sure, there's a lot of restaurants. There was a World Sports Grill right around the corner.
The place that we went on the Saturday night didn't look like I could have gotten the same level of food.
Well, that was a little pub.
Right.
It's different.
You said anywhere.
Oh, boy.
Sorry. You did say anywhere.
Sorry.
Anywhere of that ilk.
Now, Fred, you were disappointed in the aquarium.
Yes, I went to the Seattle Aquarium, and, you know, it wasn't expensive. It's not like I felt I was ripped off, but, you know, nothing compared to the Boston Aquarium.
Right.
Boston Aquarium blows it away.
And we were also in, we saw Mount Rainier, which is a rarity this time of
year.
Yes,
that's a good
behind,
point.
I guess behind
that's
the stadiums, we watched it from that market, the, what is it, Pike's
Marketplace. Yeah, I guess the clouds are always so low that you can't see it, but
that little teeny mountain over there that
they
Fred
said there's
thinks
something
is overrated.
Like only 90 days a year that you could actually see
and none of
the
them
mountain like
that,
that and not at the time of year that we were there, so it was a rare treat.
It's stunning. It's so big, it looked close. But it was very, very far away.
And Fred kept saying, I think we're underrating how large it is. Or
and Andy and
none
I
of us
saying,
were.
We're not.
It was ridiculously far away and looked huge.
James from New Hampshire's on the phone. James, how you doing?
How you doing, guys? How's it going?
Great.
Yeah, just want to say, a long-time listener, first-time caller, and just say what a great job you guys do and the best show I've found with, to do with the Patriots. So thanks a lot for doing a good job.
Good to have you on board, mate.
I appreciate James. James, now, can I ask you a question? Because
Is that a Manchester, New Hampshire accent or a Concord, New Hampshire accent?
I think it's
a
Portsmouth.
I'm actually from Kentucky originally, but the accent sort of changed when I moved up here. No, I'm from London, but I've been in the U.S. for about a year now.
Oh, great.
Oh, nice.
Now, moving down to Boston next year, so we'll hopefully get to see a lot more Pats games next year.
All right.
Now, James, do you ever download this to your iPod or whatever, download the show?
Yes, always do.
Now, do you do it from Patriots.com or from iTunes or some other place?
I do it from iTunes usually. I subscribe, and actually they've just upgraded the iPhone so that you can do it now directly to your iPhone. You don't have to do it through anywhere else.
Well, I'm finding out more and more about this, and there's actually some other things I want to take advantage of that iTunes is doing. So I'm just kind of taking a quick poll. So that's all.
But, yeah, I used to do it through the iTunes, but now I just sort of do it direct on my iPhone, which is much easier now.
That's great. That's good. Okay. Well, what else you got for us, James?
Well, I was just wondering, are you guys upbeat about the result or sort of downbeat?
I'm, you know me.
But I don't see how you could be downbeat about that result. I thought that was one of those real, kind of, like I said, old school Patriots wins that very few teams, I think, were capable of winning a game like that down the stretch.
I think it's fair to say, well, the Seahawks aren't that good. They shouldn't have had that kind of difficulty with them. But whenever you play a team, you don't play a lot. It seems that all, you know, anything can happen.
And Fred, it's like I said to Paul in like the third quarter, I go, what's worse, a loss at San Francisco or a loss at Seattle? Well, the Jets lost at San Francisco.
Right.
The Patriots turned it around
won.
And won.
Good case in point there. You know, who would have thought that the Jets were going to lose to San Francisco?
And the Patriots, old school-wise, pulled out a victory.
Very similar. I think the Jets were in trouble, and they needed to find a way to win it. They couldn't. The Patriots were in trouble. They needed to find a way, and they did. And that's that's why I don't think you could really beat downbeat. You're right.
Just on one of those points, I know Fred is sort of anti anyone who thinks what I call is a realist, but I don't want to set Fred off here, but just on that, I think, you know, a long, long time ago, perhaps the Patriots being above 500 would have been something that everyone would be happy about. But I think since, you know, Robert Kraft has come in, I think the average Patriot supporter has got a higher standard and a higher expectation. Mm-hmm. And I think to be more realistic isn't a bad thing. I think it's reflected in the organization. I think it's become a more professional organization. And one that sort of expects success. So I don't really think that's a bad thing. And so for Patriots fans to perhaps be a little bit more realistic or disappointed that we're not going to make the playoffs, as opposed to being, you know, happy that we make the playoffs once in a while, is not a bad thing. And I think it's only going to be good for the future that the organization has sort of changed its mindset and hopefully will be at the top of its game for years and years to come.
No, that's fair. Yeah, absolutely.
The bar is pretty high around here.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing. The only reason I'm sort of slightly realistic is I think it takes a lot to sort of win a Super Bowl. I think consistency is the biggest thing, which I don't think we've been. I mean, last year, New York sort of, you know, a lot of people say they caught, you know, lightning in a bottle and things like that. And unless that happens in the next couple of games, you know, we'll make the playoffs, we may win a game, but I just don't think we've shown consistency enough to string together enough games that we're going to go the whole way and far enough to sort of win it this year.
I agree.
I would agree.
Anyway, that's all I wanted to say, guys. So one day I will buy you lunch, I'm sure, when I move down there. But anyway, it's great to talk to you, and keep up the good job.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, and thanks for listening.
Enjoy London next year. But
yes.
3 days is long enough in that place.
Wow.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right.
James.
James from Manchester. By way of London.
So add him to the mix of guys Fred can confuse from the other side of the pond, named James.
The one thing, and I agree with James, and we talked, Brian Lowe and I talked about this after the game, and, you know, it's one of those, your head or your heart, you know, you couldn't be anything but overly excited and proud that they won that game. As, you know, from our perspective, that's my heart. It's just watching what they had. Three more starters lost on defense with Brewski, Will Fork, and Sanders, and they found a way.
Yeah.
Now, your head says, I'm not sure they can win the other three games, even if they get the help that they need. You know,
take it one game at a time.
And if they do, I certainly don't think they're any threat whatsoever to go on the road and beat a Pittsburgh or a Tennessee or someone.
Right.
Like that.
But the idea is just give yourself a chance. I mean, who knows?
And that's what they
once
did on Sunday.
Let's say you get in the playoffs, and let's say Kerry Collins goes down with an injury. Now, all of a sudden, whoa.
I still don't think they have a chance.
But you need Ben Roethlisberger, Kerry Collins, and Peyton Manning to go down with an injury.
They didn't need Peyton Manning to go down that last game. They had a chance to win that game.
And in my opinion, they're markedly weaker than they were that day.
Well,
the Colts are better. The Colts are playing
pretty good
football.
The Colts are starting to play better.
Right. But, hey, I if you're there, you just don't know what can happen.
I agree with that 100%.
I'm not saying I'm rooting you as a Patriots follower. You root for them not to make the playoffs because they're not going to win it. Obviously, you want to win as many games as you can.
But be excited. Be excited.
You should be.
Absolutely.
That was an exciting game once. I mean, you look at the stats, too. Andy and I were on the bus talking about this, too. It was amazing how even that game was. It was like a 5-yard difference in total yards.
Mm-hmm.
First downs were like within one or two. Time of possession was very close.
Conversions were both like 50%.
58% for the Seahawks, and it was like 52
or
something, 56 for the Patriots. Yeah. It just was a remarkably evenly played game.
I want to read this one email before we go to a break. It is the holiday season, so I thought this was a nice email. He says, I'm a first-time emailer listening to the show now for about a year. My name is Arsenios, and I'm emailing from Clearwater, Florida. You guys literally saved my life. I was going through a nasty custody case since 2005 in which my ex-wife wanted to take our two U.S.-born daughters back to her country, which is Greece. Needless to say, with her immigration situation real muddy, the judge sided with her and let her leave with the girls to Greece despite the fact that the girls didn't want to go. As I was ready to appeal the case, she secretly got Greek passports for the girls, who were 7 and 8 at the time, and on December 13, 2007, she secretly took off with them without me getting a chance to say goodbye. I was shocked and devastated. Then depression set in. All I could think about was the girls and all the mistakes that were made during the trial. I will never say I contemplated suicide, but it was depression that I have never experienced and don't know where it would have taken me. Then for Christmas, I got an iPod and started to download you guys. I was hooked. It didn't take the pain away, but what it did do was keep my mind from thinking about them. Your show was the only thing that worked for me. I don't know why. Maybe it was because you guys reminded me of the gags that my two brothers and I, Eric can correct the grammar, or is it me and my two brothers, do throughout our lives. Andy's fat head, Paul's fat gut, Fred's hairy body, all attributes of the three of us. Sorry, Eric, no one is gay here. So the comic relief plus one of my favorite loves being the Patriots brought me back. I still miss them dearly, but you guys have provided me a relief that is unexplainable. Well, maybe it's Fred antics, i.e. soap bar sliver, juice maker, no country for the old men. So when people complain to talk just football, please don't. That's what makes the show great. As far as my case, I get the girls for the summers, and she did send them, which was my fear she wouldn't. I know this doesn't have much to do with the show, but it is coming upon one point in the year that all this happened and they left. And I just wanted to say thank you for helping me go through one of the darkest chapters of my life. It helped me get on with my life. I am now remarried and have two more beautiful daughters.
Nice.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
It's good to know that we can be of some service.
By the way, you might want to forward that to Robert Kraft and say, sorry about Sunday, but read this.
Yeah, and how does this help us? All right. Well, that's great, Arsenios. I'm glad things are working out for you.
Yeah.
And that we could be part of that. All right. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips, and we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie, both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer. And now, a blog reading from Dan Twogender. Twogender.
January 31st, 2008. Babes in Scottsdale. So I'm walking down the North Scottsdale Road in Old Town Scottsdale with one of our team photographers, Keith Nordstrom. We were looking for some shots for the story I just posted on Patriots.com about the happenings in and around town during Super Bowl week. As we're scoping out the scene, we hear two of the sweetest voices in unison ask, "Are you guys lost?" We turn around to find these two gorgeous women, a blonde in the driver's seat and a brunette on the passenger side, smiling at us through the open window of their car, which was stopped at a traffic light. Naturally, like sailors drawn to the sirens, we approached them and started chatting. Apparently, they work for some outfit called the Arizona Angels. They have a website for anyone interested in learning more. They asked us who we worked for, we said the Patriots, and they became even more interested in talking. Just when things appeared to be going great, the damn traffic light turned green and they were on their way. Should have said, "Yes, we're lost. Can you give us a ride?"
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
Eric and Keith Nordstrom. So if the traffic light didn't turn green, what would have happened?
Right.
Nothing.
Not buying.
Phil from Nova
Eric is blogging, by the way, as we speak.
Philip. Oh, is he?
On the West Coast.
Is he going to call in? Do you know?
I don't know. I hope not, because he is boring as all hell.
I was going to say, what's dead air like over the phone as opposed to when he's here not saying anything?
Phil from Nova Scotia wants to know, how many hours can Paul record of himself with his new camera?
Three.
We'll find out.
Three.
Three full hours.
Thanks, Phil.
And your pasty white self in HD.
I had a story of something that happened to me in Seattle, and I was thinking of whether or not I should share it with you guys, because you guys will make fun of me.
Probably.
I know I had a problem in the press box bathroom in Seattle.
Okay.
Proceed.
Well, what happened before the game, I went in to, you know, do my business, and I you know, used a little seat cover that they have. I pulled that out, put it down there, went down, and halfway through realized there was no toilet paper.
Oh, that's an issue.
So And there's only one stall, so it's not like you could even ask for help or anything. So I went out, I peeked out, and there was no one in there. So I ran out with my pants down around my knees, and I was waving. They had the hand dispenser with the hand motion, and I'm waving. I've got one hand holding up my pants, but waving my hand in front of the hand dispenser, that wasn't working.
Well, it took a little bit.
And then I realized, then I saw this like kind of work pylon, you know, that they put in like construction areas, or when there's wet, the floor is wet, they'll put this thing. And on top of it, sure enough, were three rolls of toilet paper. The problem is, it was right by the door. So if I went for that and someone opened the door, I was screwed. But I did it, and I went for it, I grabbed it, and I ran back to the bathroom, and I made it.
Oh, no one came in?
No.
Oh.
Nobody came in.
Would have been much better had someone come in.
Yeah. So
that's a good story.
I made it.
I like that.
But it was harrowing.
Can you imagine if it had been someone you knew? Because it's one thing if it's just some person you're never going to see again. But say, I don't know, Scott Pioli's in the press box. Say he walks in and you're in there.
But even if it's someone you don't know and then they see you later, you see him go to the front. That's the guy.
And they're pointing and giggling.
Right. This just in from Dan Tugender, from the AP. NFL laying off about 150 people. Oh. The league said Tuesday it is cutting more than 10% of its headquarters staff in response to the downturn in the nation's economy. So that means 150 people out of about 1,100.
That sucks.
So. I saw that NBC was letting go about 500 people or something like
NBA
that.
NBA already did. I guess the Arena League is like hanging by a thread, just going to go out of business. Remember like 2 years ago that was like this rising star? They were going to be like, they're going out of business. It's not good.
Boy. And I'm in trouble. Not the time to be in trouble.
If you're in trouble, then we're in trouble.
Well, you just get elevated. You take
over. I already said to Andy, in no way, shape, or form am I at all ready for that.
To which I replied, Captain Obvious strikes again.
Hey, Steven writes in to you, Dan. He says from South Yarmouth. He said he won the QDO.
I emailed him back. Right?
Is he all set now?
What happened?
Is he all set?
Yeah, he should be.
What happens with these people?
You screwed
Aren't
up.
They supposed to stay on the line and then you give him
he
the
He sent
info?
Me his information and I forwarded it to Qdoba.
But he stays on the line. He doesn't have to send it. You can get it right there.
Nah, it's better to have it in an email.
Okay.
All I need is his name and his email address.
Okay, so he's all set?
Yeah.
Because we want these people to be happy.
Oh, absolutely. Like Artie.
Who went
to the game.
Yeah, read Artie's email.
He sent a thank
you. Well, Artie said he was going to call in, so I'm waiting for him to call in. But Artie Knowles, who won the prize to go to the 3D game, said it was really cool. That he was glad that he took advantage of it, and he said he was going to call up and give us a synopsis of the night.
I'm intrigued by that. I want to know how.
So Artie from New Hampshire, we're waiting for your call whenever you get a chance. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. Seattle, yeah, we talked about that earlier. Very hilly.
Yes. I've never heard that. Never.
Our hotel was right on a hill.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was straight down.
It was like six blocks straight down to get to the water.
So on Saturday,
which means it was six blocks straight up to get back to the bed.
On Saturday, we walked straight down and we went to that area that has the fish throwing.
The market. I wasn't impressed, by the way. Well, see, I was. I had no interest, but there were fruits and flowers and
seafood
I've never seen before in my life.
I'm talking about that whole fish throwing thing.
I thought it was kind of cool.
I liked it.
I mean, what did you expect?
It was better when you see it before the games, like on Monday Night Football, because it seems like it's at night and it's all lit up and there's more people there. When we were there,
it was pretty cool. They interacted with the crowd
when you see it on TV.
Right.
Well, but that's what it seems.
But they played with the crowd. The guy caught it in front of a baby, and I'm Superman.
But that whole market is very cool.
The substance of the market, I got to think, if you're like a chef or whatever, you live right there. You can make anything.
Yeah, it's a big farmer's market.
I saw things I've never seen before. The fresh seafood.
Yeah.
Things I've never seen.
Seattle delivered.
Yes.
A lot of dogs.
Oh, and that big dog.
They had one of the biggest huskies I've ever seen. I turned around and Paul was nowhere to be found.
Like a husky.
I did not know that you had a fear of dogs.
Yeah, I took the circuitous route, as Eric would say.
Now, where did this fear of dogs come from?
They bite people.
But for you personally, did you get bitten as a kid or something?
I had some run-ins.
Really?
Yeah. My sister had a really bad one.
Really?
She got bit in the face.
By a
German Shepherd.
Really?
Yeah.
So you just don't like dogs. There won't be any dogs in the Perillo household.
No.
Huh.
No. Will's already asking for one.
Really? Maybe you could get to like them.
No.
No?
No.
This seems to be very deep-seated.
It's real. I'm not. Yeah. This is not
Have
trying
you seen
to be.
A therapist
it's not a PFW in progress.
Would you consider going to therapy?
Storyline. I really don't like dogs.
Would you consider therapy?
No.
No? Because I think
therapy going to stop the dogs from biting people? Because unless I can get that kind of therapy,
yeah,
I don't really need therapy.
Most dogs don't do that.
Well, a lot of dogs do.
Yes, but I think you're missing out a lot on life by having this fear.
I don't think he's missing out.
I think most dogs do not bite people. You know, otherwise they wouldn't be so popular. So.
I'm kind of contemplating how not to offend anybody, and I can't come up with a way. So I'm going to take the high road.
All right. Dog. What about
these
cats?
Things that have happened?
Like cats?
Have been like family pets. It's not like you're walking through a park and there's some rogue dog that escapes from a zoo. You know, I mean, it's like I'm sure that all the dogs that have bitten people were one of those dogs. Oh, he would never harm a fly. That's what happens with these things. You don't know. And I know that people think that dogs are, like, smarter than humans, but they're not. They're really not as intelligent as humans.
Well, who thinks that?
You know, people like past members of this show.
Okay. Well, they like them better than humans.
Right.
Yeah. All right. What about you, Ant? Do you like dogs?
I do.
You have one?
No, but I'm sure we will in a few years.
Andy's going to get a dog.
So what does that mean? I have to do what Andy does? Andy's having a daughter pretty soon, too. I'm not going to do that either.
Maybe we should have some type of intervention.
Yeah, but I want a dog.
We reintroduce you to dogs. I see you as a dog person.
No.
You would love dogs.
I don't really love pets in general.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't have a lot of pets growing up. I had some, but not a lot.
And there's no chance. Like, not even if both TJ and Will in, like, 3 years are both, like,
I
over
want
the
a puppy.
Top.
No, they'll wait till they're 18 and they can get their own.
Wow. Okay.
A dog and a tattoo on the same night.
Where's the food, Dan?
Well,
Where's the damn food that was promised at 12:30?
We're supposed to be getting food from a restaurant at Patriot Place, and I'll say the restaurant once we get
presented
the food.
Presented by Raytheon.
You got to buy to air on this show, and that's through food.
That's right.
I love how he always plays the presented by Raytheon. That's the Hall of Fame, but he does it for anything at Patriot Place.
Web radio, patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Josh from York, Maine writes in, with the injuries experienced during the game on defense, I began to come to the realization that this defense is not going to be able to take us deep into the playoffs. I do think the Pats will find a way to make it to the postseason, but I can't see them winning the conference. I don't know what the extent of the injuries to Bruschi and Sanders are, assuming Vrabel is all right because he returned. But the Pats are just running out of bodies to put on the field. It was a good move to bring Seau and Colvin back when they did, but Seau in particular looked a little more than a just rusty. I hope the Pats prove me wrong and somehow win it all. P.S., doesn't this remind you of 2002, a three-way tie for first with the Jets and Dolphins where the Pats got left out?
We've said that
Dolphins
for a while.
Dolphins did, too. Yeah, it does remind me of that.
I don't think Seau looked anything more than rusty. In my mind, I thought he looked rusty. Like the Carlson touchdown, I think is a tough play for any linebacker. And I think if you add a half a second of reaction time there, he might get that ball. And on the sideline, I thought he looked like a guy who hadn't attempted to make a tackle on a small receiver in a year. But I thought running around, I thought he looked like he still was an athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, thought it was.
His instincts are never go away.
Right.
And he knew when to shoot the gap. He didn't. He missed a lot.
So I do think in a couple weeks, he's going to be better than the guy that was on the field in Seattle.
Yeah.
Unless he gets hurt.
They're going to get better. Both of those guys are going to get better.
If they don't get hurt.
But I'll say this. It's a great story that they played as much as they did, but that's all they did was they played. You know, to play a combined 60 snaps almost, according to Mike Reese, they played 28 snaps each.
And they had one
combined tackle.
Right.
Colvin got a hit that I don't think he actually touched the guy.
We say a lot. He didn't. We say a lot about Teddy Bruschi. We kind of tease and say, you know, most of his tackles are assists. A lot of them come 5 yards downfield. Teddy Bruschi has 8, 9 tackles every game. Junior Seau took over for Teddy Bruschi and had one in 28 plays. So, I know it's a great story that they played as much as they did, but that's all they did was they played.
Right. It was stopgap. That's all they were.
It's desperation.
Yeah. So.
And the first desperation act, I don't think, worked out. Again, I haven't seen the film, but they were running the ball. Gary Guyton was on the field, and they decided Gary Guyton's coming off the field.
I want to yell at you, by the way.
Okay, what did I do now?
Because at the beginning of the game, we briefly talked about it, and they started in the four-man front. They used Rabel kind of as a down lineman.
Mm-hmm.
And you immediately said to me, you looked at me and said, and they did, when they got right out of that in the second one, you go, and they had some over-under stuff there, too. Why don't you explain some of that stuff? Why don't you show me things when things are happening?
But,
and we would make fun of each other all the time for being, you know, the football, you know.
Over and under is just sliding the front.
No, I understand that, but you could have pointed it out to me when it was happening.
I thought I kind of did.
But you did it afterwards. You said like the next one, and they were doing some over under stuff, and I was
I also don't like you to be said, pompous. I feel like you're going to make fun of me if I try to tell you. It's kind of like when Eric goes, "Ooh, Sam Aiken's the up back on the punt team," and I'm thinking to myself, "As he's been for the last 5 games." That's interesting, and I didn't want to say, "As he's been for the last 5 games."
Well, but I don't.
I do it on the air.
I don't
get a little extra buzz making fun of him.
Yeah, I don't think it would have been pompous if you had said that to me.
Sorry, Paul.
But
and I don't know
the reason because all of a sudden.
Obviously, I'm not an expert. I just, you notice little
things. I know what it is. I didn't notice it in the first drive. And then you said something like that, and it was kind of in passing that you said it on the next drive, because they went back to the base 3-4 for the second drive. And then, you know, like Borges in his report card actually wrote a specific thing about that, whatever that decision went into that, obviously was a bad one, didn't work. They were really gashed in that first drive. They had a very hard time.
They also got a specifically bad play where not only had they slid the front, but because of the formation, a linebacker was pulled over to the other side. So they had an unbalanced defense, essentially. And all Seattle did, obviously, was run the other way, run to the back side of it, and they got a big gain.
I mean, a lot has been written about how Vrabel kind of took over with the play calling and kind of being that captain on the field for the defense. I did notice it was early in the game, first quarter, where basically it was Vrabel talking to Belichick, Pepper Johnson, and Dean Pease, and it was Vrabel doing all the talking. Those guys were just doing the listening. And from Vrabel's gestures, it was like, look, this isn't working, what we're doing.
Vrabel was not happy during the course of that game. We saw him after the third touchdown, when we made it 21-13, and he was just sitting there on the bench, and it was almost like he was saying,
we don't have it.
We just don't got it.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what we try.
Shell-shocked.
Yeah. No matter what we try. He was not happy during that game. I talked to him very shortly. He was not. Did you get him
was
on the record
Kurt?
At all?
Kurt? No.
Yes. With a lot
was Mike.
Of, with a lot of people, too. And I just, because I thought that was an amazing win.
Right.
Given the personnel. And I said that. I said that was a great win. And he kind of looked at me as, you know, he said thank you, but it was almost like he was saying
F you?
No, it was almost like he was saying, what are you, crazy? We were awful.
Well, but you know what?
And I was like, Mike.
But Paul.
You found a way to win a game
but
you didn't have any
but
personnel.
But you know what? I look at that
skip
as
jacks,
encouraging
jacks,
that he thinks
jacks.
That. Because the opposite would be
don't
we just don't have it. The fact
all.
That he's getting upset because he thinks that they could be playing better.
I don't think he
tells
thinks
me
that.
Something.
That's my point. I think it was a look of resignation on his face, like, we just ain't got
it.
We
don't
have
get,
the personnel.
You don't get upset when you realize that you just don't have the personnel. You
I
get
think
resigned
you do.
To it. He got. I don't think it's that case, Paul. I think he thinks that they could have been doing better.
I mean, obviously, we're both speculating as to what he meant.
Right.
But at least I'm doing so, having had the conversation.
But
you're doing it based on.
But if you just don't feel like you have it, you get dejected.
That's what I think
I
he
think
was.
He was dejected.
Okay, so you
until it started to. They started to make a couple plays. And then the result ended up, okay, we'll live to fight another day. I actually just...
He looked like Michael Corleone at the end of Godfather 2 when he's...
He looks like Peyton Manning playing on, the Patriots about la- 5 years ago.
You know when he's on the lake there after and he knows he has to kill his brother?
Right.
And he's sitting there and he's like, it's almost like, I got all of this. And what do I have? I have nothing. And it's almost like Vrabel sitting there saying, like, you know, we got three Super Bowl titles and we got all this and we can't
right
get another
one. Right
now
matter.
We don't have another one.
All right. Well, now is the time
skip jacks.
Give a big shout out first to Jason Dvorkin
for
arranging lunch from Skip Jacks, which is one of the Patriot Place restaurants.
Presented by Raytheon.
This sounds
it's not
great,
really presented
but
by
But I also want to give a shout out to Jason because I heard
doc.
Great, great things about him from this Saturday at the MIAA. Your name has come up several times as going above and beyond the call of duty in a long day for the MIA Super Bowl championships, high
sucker.
School championships. What's that?
I'm a sucker.
You're not a sucker.
I do what I can to help the organization.
I think that's a great event. It's
they know who he is, right? They're not.
Do you know that the last three games got a 1.5 rating on TV?
I did not know that.
That's pretty good.
What were those games? The 1-1A
the Everett
and 2A
game,
or something?
Yeah. So
Everett wasn't in it.
That wasn't the Everett game.
Not Everett. I mean, BC and Brockton. But that's great. And, you know, your work that day, Jason, was much appreciated. So
thank you.
So good stuff. Were you there, Dan? Were you working?
I was for part of the day.
Part of the day? Well, good for you.
My name didn't come up, though, did it?
No. Good for you, though. But Jason's, he got called out in particular. All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place, a once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips, and we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac-A-Tac sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac-A-Tac sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Inside the Hall is one of the newest additions to Patriots.com radio, featuring Patriots and NFL Hall of Famer Andre Tippett and former PFW writer Brian Morey. But wouldn't two Hall of Famers be better than one? I mean, why isn't Hall of Famer Paul Perillo co-hosting?
Dan's going to try to get Paul Perillo on the phone today from PFW.
Oh, that'd be nice.
He too is a Hall of Famer.
I know he is.
So,
recently.
You know, being inducted into the Boston University Baseball Hall of Fame. Yeah,
I congratulated him and everything, and I tried to get him get him ready for the experience, because it's a wonderful experience. I told him no matter what Hall of Fame you get in, it's a special honor, and to be recognized in that fashion says a lot about who you are as a athlete, a competitor, and a person.
So maybe we'll get him on the horn after and have him talk.
I think they went to go to their television show.
Oh, they did.
Oh, okay.
He's such a media whore.
And now, back to PFW in Progress, featuring Hall of Famer Paul Perillo. Unless he's on the big show or shooting something for Patriots Today.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress, Skipjacks, a new favorite here at PFW in Progress. And thanks to Dr. D, Jason Dvorkin, for arranging this, but nothing comes without a price. And I do need to tell everyone about Skipjack's ongoing promotion right now. It's called the Countdown to Christmas Gift Certificate Sale. So what you do is you go in there and you buy a gift certificate, and each day after today, the price – no, how does this work? No. What you do is you buy a gift certificate. The sooner you do it, the more of a discount you get on the certificate. So let's just say you buy a $50 gift certificate, all right? You get, starting today, I think it's 16% off.
Yes.
So it doesn't actually cost you $50.
It's 42.
It costs you $42, but it's still worth $50, so you give it to somebody, they still spend $50. So the sooner you buy that gift certificate from any Skipjacks, the less it's going to cost you. So that's
yes.
Their
don't wait. Don't put it
right.
off.
Every
Do
day
it
goes down a little bit.
Chris Ferreira, you mooch. This is your kind of deal. You get $50 worth of food for $42.
Right. So if you're in the vicinity of a Skipjack's, and by the way, Skipjack's is a seafood restaurant, one of the Patriot Place restaurants, excellent restaurant. If you're into oysters or, you know, raw shellfish or fish, it's a great place.
It's even getting the stamp of approval on the burger that Paul
yeah.
pulls, because we know he's not touching any of this seafood. He eats only
And meat. You're eating a crab cake?
Crab cake burger, which is very, very good.
Okay, so that's the Skipjack's Countdown to Christmas gift certificate sale going on at any Skipjack's right now. So go check it out.
And Mooch Ferreira, if you're listening, come on down. We might have something for you.
And so thank you, Skipjack's, for today's lunch. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And on the phone right now is John from L.A. John, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Good. Is Eric there?
No.
Oh, right. It's Tuesday.
Right.
The guy who was whining about being booted off the show just chooses not to come in on Tuesday.
Good point.
Okay.
Good point.
Just to rain on the parade here, because, you know, no one enjoys Eric bashing more than me or more than I, depending on, you know, if he's here or not. Eric is in California.
Oh, that's
you know,
right.
With
that's
the
right.
team, so we'll cut
he doesn't
him
have a telephone, I guess.
We'll cut him some slack today.
I guess no phones out there.
You couldn't phone in.
He's just in Silicon Valley. I'm sure they don't have any way of hooking him into
right.
your computer show. Anyway, I'm calling actually because somebody asked Belichick in his press conference the other day about Seattle calling timeout two other times when they had that Brandon Merriweather blitz called. And Seneca didn't know what to do, so he called timeout, so they didn't get to use it. And they asked Belichick, did you call that again because they didn't have any timeouts this time? And he, of course, you know, just sort of hemmed and hawed around that issue. But my question is, how on earth, if you've called timeouts twice because you see something you don't know what to do about, how do you not at some point in the rest of the game say, hey, by the way, if that happens again, here's what we should do instead of calling timeout?
Well, that's Paul's point. I mean, he made that earlier, John, the exact same
point.
Oh, I
didn't hear it. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, if you see the look, obviously, you know, on that look, anyone could be coming. It's not necessarily going to be Merriweather every time, but the look is there. So if it's the same look that you saw twice before, haven't you come up with some sort of remedy, you know, for that look?
I would think you come up with a remedy going out of the timeout
right.
in case they call that same play again. I mean, whatever. I was very happy with that win. I thought it was gutty, and they played hard. They didn't play great, but they got it done.
Yeah, it's a good word. It was a gutty win. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, the defense with the gutsy win. I think it was Wes Welker coming off that hit last week. I think it was the play calling from the sideline. I recall that one play. I think it was third and five or something, and they went deep to Moss and connected. That was a gutsy call, you know.
Yeah.
That's not playing it safe.
I really sort of thought as the game was going on, we were losing the entire time, and I just kept thinking, you know, we have enough time. We're gonna be okay.
I just kept looking at the scoreboard, and I saw the Jets losing to San Francisco, and I said, we can't not take advantage of this opportunity. We have to win this game.
Yeah. So, Fred, what do you think? Are you feeling good about winning the division? Because I feel like, I'm not trying to rain on anyone's parade either. But
I actually feel better about winning the division than I do wild card.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I'm, you know.
Yeah, that's definite.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think the wild card's much of a shot. I mean, Baltimore has a tough schedule, right?
They do.
That's why I think it's a better chance to win the wild card.
Yeah, but you know what? I just, Pittsburgh, haven't they kind of sealed the deal there? Or
no.
No? They haven't? So they'll still be playing for something when they play Baltimore?
I think they hate
Pittsburgh
Baltimore
can end up with a six
try to knock them out.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Well, okay. I mean, I don't know. I think that the Jets in Miami might screw it up. You know, they have to play each other, so we know we're going to knock one of them out.
Right.
And then who knows what the Jets will do. I mean, they could, you know.
Here's the problem. Now, the Jets just lost back-to-back to Denver and San Francisco, so all bets are off. They can lose to anybody,
mm-hmm.
much like the Patriots. The Jets have Buffalo at home, and then they go where, Andy? Seattle.
St. Louis.
Seattle.
That STL gets to Jeter.
Okay, so they have Buffalo and Seattle. Clearly they could lose one or both of those games the way they're playing right now, but they should win both. They're going to be favored in both. Miami has San Francisco at home and at Kansas City. Again, they could lose one or both.
Yep.
But they're favored in both of those games, and they should win them both. If they win all four, if Miami wins both, the Jets win both, division's out of the reach.
Yep.
Because someone's going to win the last game, and they would hold tiebreakers over the Patriots. So that's why I think it's a better chance that Baltimore stumbles down the stretch with the tough games that they play against Pittsburgh and against
Dallas.
I think there's a better chance that they lose two, you know, those two games, and then the Patriots could slip in front of them.
What about Trent Edwards? Is he out for the season, or could he play this weekend?
No, he could play.
He could play.
But he could play against the Patriots.
And he could stink.
Yeah, what we need is him to play this weekend. And I think we'll beat them whether he plays or not when we play them.
I would hope so. I mean, that's clearly a game we should win. But
right, but there's been a lot of games that teams should win that they've lost this year.
No, I know. It's up for grabs. It really is.
That's why I think it's still even though it seems like it makes sense on paper when you read all the little scenarios, you have no idea what's going to happen. Like, the Jets could go 0-3. The Patriots could go 3-0. The Patriots could go 0-3. I mean, no one knows. Anything's possible.
That's
at this
what makes
point.
A season intriguing. I know. In the beginning of the year, you guys laughed at me when I said this is going to be an intriguing season.
We never laughed at you.
I never laughed at that word. I laughed at more exciting.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's in a different way. It is more exciting.
It's not more exciting to me. That's the only thing
I
ever laughed at.
In a crappy way, it's more exciting.
Yeah. Well, you're on
in
the edge of your seat more.
In 10 years, you're not going to remember this one as much as you remember 16-0 and all the records.
You
that's more long-lasting, exciting.
But intriguing or...
intriguing's you know, fine.
That's certainly accurate. But again, I don't think you look back 5 years later and say, remember that game when we beat 2-11 Seattle and no one thought we could win
if
it?
If they end up doing something this year, you say that. If
like
they don't, then
like
you forget about it. You know, it all depends on what happens at the end.
You know? Good to see Rosie Colvin running around like a chicken with his head cut off. on that scramble bomb to Deion Branch, that was embarrassing to watch.
For who, Colvin or Seau?
It was Seau.
Seau got his legs
Colvin
broken.
Sort of like chasing after. Oh, it was brutal. But,
well,
you know.
Merriweather got killed on that play, too.
And others.
You know. I thought Merriweather had a tough game.
He did.
With the exception of making the play of the game.
Which was unblocked.
Which was a great play by him.
On the Deion Branch first touchdown, I don't know what he was thinking of
he
doing.
Was covering
he
him.
He should have heard
Andy
when that play.
Like he went the wrong way.
It was like
but
Andy
for
knew.
No reason.
It was like Andy knew the ball was going to Branch the whole time. And he was like, he's covered. What's he doing?
He just faded off to him to the back of the end zone.
This was before the ball was even thrown. Andy saw the whole thing.
Branch made no move. Branch did nothing.
It's like he veered off the wrong way.
It's like he's shaven points and had to give up a touchdown. I mean, I have no idea. Obviously, I'm kidding. But I have no idea why he left him. I have no idea in my mind.
I need some more cash.
Maybe Deion gave him one of those eye fakes that we used to do playing Nerf football at recess.
I guess. Well, that led to part of Merriweather's terrible game, as Paul said, aside from the last play.
Yeah, I thought he struggled a little bit in that game.
How about Will Hite not taking out Seneca Wallace, getting faked out of his jockstrap, thinking that he was going to go out of bounds?
Yeah, that sucked.
That was brutal.
I just thought that was a good play by Wallace. I thought he set up his block well on the sideline, and I thought you could see. I'm not sure that Will Hite thought he was going out of bounds. I just think he cut back inside of him.
It looked like he let up to me.
No.
It looked like,
you might
who
be right.
was it, what, against Pittsburgh that
Todd
time?
Collins.
Where? Yeah, that's what it looked like to me.
All right.
I didn't look at it that same way. I thought he cut back inside of him, whereas Cordell Stewart just kept running down the sideline. But Will Hite, we should talk about him too, Fred, because I thought he was an upgrade over Delta O'Neal. Didn't see him glaringly getting beaten the way we had seen O'Neal. And by the way, replay showed this too.
Replay.
That last play where Merriweather gets there, it's a good thing he got there, because Delta O'Neal was on Deion Branch and not close.
Yeah.
So
my mom is about to pass Delta O'Neal on the depth chart. So
yeah,
we'll see how big a deal it is to have Will Hite in there.
He's going to get the chance, it looks like, to play over the next couple of weeks.
I think that was a move that had to be made.
Well, I hope he. The one thing about this season, I'll say, is we really are getting a lot of good experience for young players who ordinarily wouldn't get it. And then next year, hopefully, we'll have a lot of those guys back, and those will benefit from that.
I'd feel better if Wheatley was one of those guys.
Yeah, I would too.
You know,
it's unfortunate that those two young guys aren't part of it, but I agree with John's premise that, and we've talked about this a lot this year, it's a transition year for the defense. There's some young guys that are going to be part of this defense, I think, going forward. Will Hite, Mayo, Guyton, and some others that I think will be part of this.
Merriweather.
You know, Pierre Woods, Merriweather. I think that 3 years from now, you might look at it and say, you know, we got a pretty good defense right now.
Yep. All right. Thanks, John.
All right, thanks, guys.
John from L.A. calling in.
Three, hopefully sooner than that.
Joe from Merrimack's trying to call in. He says the line's busy, but
well,
so we have an open
John
line
just on,
now.
John was just on the phone. How many lines do you think we got?
We're pretty popular here.
Open line now, Joe, if you want to call in and talk about the 3D experience that you had.
That was Artie, wasn't it?
What did Joe want?
I'm glad,
I don't know.
I'm glad you suppressed the first burp so you could get the last one of the year.
Let's see. Kalani says Paul doesn't like anything, including pets. Fred, how do you relate to him? He is just creepy.
It's true. He doesn't really like anything.
I knew I was going to end up offending somebody with that dog stuff, but
Russell,
I apologize that I don't like.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
I don't think you offended anyone.
Bitten by dogs and watching my sister have surgery on her face.
Yeah, I don't think you offended.
Call me crazy. I didn't like it.
But what if, like, she got hit by a car? Would you hate cars?
Yeah, that's the same thing.
You know? Because it's something that happens sometimes.
But that's the same thing, Fred. You're suggesting that those two things are the same.
Well, that whoever raised that dog did not do a good job.
Well, it never bitten anybody before.
Well, something happened that made that dog.
Yeah,
you know,
which could happen to any dog at any time. Wow. They're animals.
Well,
he's right there.
They are animals.
They're animals, and I'm sorry, no matter how well they're trained, that can happen.
Well, get a small dog.
Okay.
No, really.
They can still bite.
I know, but it's like a nip. It doesn't hurt.
Plus, they're gay.
They're gay?
Yeah.
I have a pug. He's not gay. In fact, he'd take offense at that. He'd fight you.
Pugs are, they're all annoying. If you're going to get a dog, get a dog.
I have
if
two
you don't
dogs.
Don't like dogs, don't get them.
I have a big dog and a small dog.
Thank you, Andy. What? If you don't like dogs,
well, they go halfway and like pussyfoot through it.
I wouldn't do that.
Get a dog if you're going to get a dog, or just don't.
You would get a big dog if you got a dog?
No. Well, I wouldn't get a dog. I certainly wouldn't get a small dog because I don't really like him. Because
its bite will hurt half as much. That's kind of flawed logic.
What kind of dog would you get? Big dog!
I don't know yet.
Andy, get big dog.
I like big dogs.
Calm fat, Monty.
I'm not getting a pug. I can guarantee that.
Pugs are great.
And if I get a small dog, it'll be like a bulldog.
Bulldog.
They're really expensive.
Because you're a tough guy.
No, because I like them. They're cute. They're cool. They're not little pansy pugs.
Let's see. Russell from the OC. I must say it has been remarkable how what is virtually the practice squad and over-the-hill defenders managed to pull out wins. In reality, if they didn't fumble four straight times and miss a chip shot field goal, they were actually in position to win the Pittsburgh game. Yeah, but the Pittsburgh forced those. Anyway, certainly this is a great testament to the coaching staff and players' mindset. Funny, though, how the national media doesn't seem to recognize any injury outside of St. Thomas of Pigskin. And even that, they don't seem to look at it as a big thing. Since I didn't write in last week, and in spite of his TD catch Sunday, all I see Ben Watson being good for is having the ability to run people down from 100 yards away. He must be paying Castle some side cash because he throws his way much too often. So a couple of things I'd like to get your take on. Do you think Moss is some sort of injury, or is he just not as focused as last year? He's dropped a lot of balls, and when Castle overthrew him, something just isn't right. Wasn't it Moss himself who said to St. Thomas of Pigskin, throw it as far as you can, you can't overthrow me? And lastly, aside from revenue the team would make, does making the playoffs and being one and done make any sense? I mean, even the most diehard homer, hi Fred, can't be that delusional to think they could win the Super Bowl. I'm waiting for next year and hoping that the injured QB finds the Bobby Orr-type fire and desire and makes a mighty return. Well, the Orr-type drive is a bit much, so I'd settle for Bird-type. That's not too shabby at all. Thanks for the great show and website. You are second to none. Russell from the OC. A lot of things in there.
There really was.
What about Moss? Losing focus.
I don't know if he's lost focus. I do think he might not be quite 100% based on what I've seen. But I don't know about focus. I think he's had some drops, but I think he's also made some really big catches and tough catches.
Would you be saying the same thing if Tom Brady were playing all season and had like 27 touchdown passes?
Yeah.
Oh, what happened? How come he's down 23 TDs from a year ago? Because it was a ridiculously special season.
And
Randy Moss
has
8 touchdowns. That's a decent number.
It's a great number.
And he's going to have another 1,000 yards.
With a backup playing.
You know?
I mean, he's had a pretty solid year considering.
Think about that, though.
Now, I agree. I think he's missed opportunities to make plays this year. I think he's missed those.
Yeah,
And I've questioned some of them. But I think you had to come in thinking there was going to be a drop-off. There was going to be a comeback-to-reality season here.
Even with Brady.
Right. I'm just saying Moss. Moss's production.
But he'd have, I mean, the drop-off would have been like 23 to 15 touchdowns. And, you know,
right.
Maybe.
Now you combine that with a backup quarterback, and you get the reason why he has
only
60 catches for 8 touchdowns and 850 yards or whatever he has.
I mean, his average is, you know, until very recently, his average was still around 15. Now it's down in the 13s, I think. So it's definitely taken a hit, but he still made some big plays, and he made a big play Sunday on that third down that he went on Josh Wilson down. Every time they had Josh Wilson, by the way,
he stinks.
They took advantage of it. I listened to Bill talk about that yesterday. I always like when Bill talks about plays and he breaks them down into the terms that you used when you were like 5. And he said, yeah, like Randy on that flag route. You know, like you never hear NFL guys call it a flag route, you know, but that's what it was. It's exactly what it was. The other thing, he's questioning you, Fred. Russell saying, even dyed in the wool homers wouldn't think that they, you know, get anything more. First of all, if it is one and done, so be it. I want the one and done. If I'm a Patriots guy, I want to make the playoffs. That's better than not making the playoffs.
Plus, you never know. Right.
And second of all, a paragraph and a half earlier, you said if they didn't fumble 4 times in a row and miss a chip shot field goal, they could have beaten Pittsburgh. So what are you?
So don't
make fun of Fred.
Don't you want a second chance at it then? You know?
I mean, they were thoroughly outclassed in the second half of the Pittsburgh game, and you think they should have won the game or could have won the game.
Right. I said that those turnovers were not mistakes. They were forced by, you know, Pittsburgh.
You have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Why would you not want to make the postseason?
I mean, you know, the whole draft pick argument.
The only argument that could be made, and it's not a real one, but the only argument is that if you're like a real numbers guy and you're real stuck on that, maybe you say, I don't want Bill's playoff record to get damaged and the Patriots' playoff record, because there is a good chance they could lose the first one.
Right, but I still take the chance every time.
Of course you do. Of course you do. You never know what could happen. Never know what could happen. They could win games like they did Sunday.
That's right.
Let's see. Oh, Dan at Fairfax says, don't say Paul doesn't like anything. He likes ABBA.
Not that song, but sure.
Not that song in particular, but...
let's see.
Who was that?
ABBA.
No. Who was the emailer?
Dan at Fairfax.
Dan, you were right, my friend.
Dan Heffern.
We were looking forward to that Christmas poem. No pressure.
Let's see.
It's coming.
This person calls himself Tree Hugger from Oregon. He's a longtime listener, first-time emailer.
Is this Eric?
All right, Tree. What do you got?
He says, I discovered you guys last year and devoutly listened to the podcast as the Pats march toward destiny. After the bowl that shall not be named, I vowed that I would not get sucked into getting caught up in the Pats fever again by listening to you guys, but like a pathetic junkie, I came crawling back. I'm hooked. Good to know. As a first-time emailer, I believe my first duty is to evaluate the PFW crew.
I think it's funny how a lot of first-timers do that.
Andy, last year he played the part of angry young man a little too well, but this year he has backed up his aggressive tone with impressive insight, plus his quick draw with the infantile humorous comment is unmatched and much appreciated.
Thank you, Tree.
Paul, with his earnest demeanor and impeccable football knowledge, Paul plays the perfect straight man to Andy's shenanigans. It's fun when he gets offended or riled up, but he's the bottom line when it comes to football savvy.
Ridiculous,
Andy,
Tree.
Andy's rolling his eyes.
He hit the nail on the head at all counts there, because I am your straight man, that's for sure.
Eric
certainly isn't.
Speaking of
infantile humor.
The gay jokes were getting a little old until Eric gave up protesting and took on more of the not that there's anything wrong with that kind of attitude.
I have no formal artistic training.
I disagree with Andy's assessment that he has adds nothing of value to the show.
When did you say that?
Although, admittedly, being the butt of jokes is about 70% of it. So that is something.
What's the other 30%?
Well, 70% isn't bad.
He usually comes in to tell us they're in uppers.
And then goes, second thought, they actually weren't
pads.
In uppers.
Full pads.
Fred, the Roman Emperor Claudius made a good living of acting like a fool, but in reality pulling all the strings behind the scenes. That's Fred.
That is Fred.
That is true.
Tree Hugger.
I'm not pulling any strings today. Let me tell you something.
We're pulling your shoestrings.
It hasn't been a good day. You don't like being in that position. Trust me.
Now, what was the position? Phone call?
Screwing up.
But I mean, have you been called on it?
Yeah. Oh.
Can I ask you this? How does
emails, phone calls?
Sorry, sir.
I want to get the logistics of this. You said on Saturday when we were at the original event.
Yeah.
You told him that the owner may possibly be going. So obviously you had conversations with Mr. Kraft.
Right, but I didn't get any confirmation of it.
But did you say to him, I mean, was there an assumption on Mr. Kraft's part that we were going to be there or someone was going to be there?
Well,
like, why is it your fault that we...
Anytime that I tell him about something,
whether
or not I
there.
Think he's going to go, I should be there.
That's what. So it's the understanding that someone was going to be there.
Yeah.
Make sure that they document it properly.
Right.
Okay. Now I get it.
I thought somebody would be, but I was incorrect.
So we kind of got screwed by
others.
No.
Another department.
I can't. No, no.
Others who eat our food every Thursday for Qdoba.
I need to be the person responsible for
that. I'm not suggesting that that's your
line. I praise you for taking that approach.
Right. I'm not suggesting that you should take that line of defense with Mr. Kraft, because Lord knows no one likes a guy who points fingers elsewhere. But in reality,
Bill Belichick will take credit for Deion Branch's 63-yard butt. Junior Seau missed the tackle.
Well, I think we all have to participate.
We all have our crosses to bear.
Yes. And, you know, my thing was making sure everyone knew how important it was. I didn't do that. And for that, I am sincerely sorry.
But we did save that guy's life who was depressed.
That's something good there. Anyway.
And I'm really encouraged by still now these people that haven't ever – first-time emailers writing in.
It's because all the regulars have given up on the season and jumped ship.
Just started listening 6 months ago, a year ago, whatever. Imagine if we actually advertised this show, how many people we could get listening.
Unbelievable. Anyway, Tree Hugger goes on to say, I had the pleasure of taking my 9-year-old son up to the game in Seattle. What an experience. So many Pats fans in our neck of the woods was a sight to behold. Are there usually that many Pats fans at away games, especially that far from home? My son got enough pats on the back and congratulations for wearing his Brewski jersey to last him until the next time the Patriots come to Seattle.
That was a pretty good.
That was a good crowd.
It depends
Although,
on the game.
They got completely drowned out. Yeah. I got to give the Seattle home fans credit because
they know how to do it.
And you thought the same thing, Fred. On Saturday night, I thought that was going to be one of those games almost like Arizona.
Right.
Where
right.
You're going to think it was almost a pseudo home game.
Mm-hmm.
And you could not
it
hear the Patriots fans very much at all in that game.
No, you couldn't.
Even when they won the game.
But they travel well to all games.
They do travel
well.
Very
I think for West Coast games and Arizona included in that, you see a lot of Patriots fans. Florida games, you see a lot of Patriots fans.
Right.
But when you get to like Pittsburgh, Indy, it's tough because they're sold out. And their fans go and there aren't a lot of tickets available.
Yeah.
There were a lot of tickets available for this game 2-3 days before the game that people were picking up on the street. So, and plus it's a place that Patriots don't play a lot, so it was a good trip. You know, good road trip for people.
And a nice city.
Anyhow, here's my question intended to start an argument. As I watch Castle directly a very Brady-like fourth quarter comeback, much like the one I watched Grogan direct against Dan Fouts' era Chargers the last time I went to a Pats game, I began to really wonder, how many more games would the Pats have won with Brady at the helm? Paul has come out by saying that they would have only lost one game all season, but I think it's more, given the troubles they've had on defense. Here's my take on their losses this year. Miami, a win with Brady. Despite the Wildcat and chickens with heads cut off, Brady rallies the troops and keeps the defense off the field. San Diego, a win with Brady. Same basic premise. A few more successful drives would have won it for the Pats. Indy was be a tough one. I think Indy would have come out slinging against Brady instead of playing it safe the way they did, and I think the defense can't stop them. I'm calling this a loss on the road against a desperate team and a shootout, even with Brady. Jets, I'm also calling a loss with Brady. Again, the defense and special teams were the downfall in this game. Given how Castle performed in this one, it's hard to see how much more Brady could have done. And the Steelers, a loss with Brady. Pittsburgh's defense is for real this year, and the Pats defense is not. I don't buy that Brady's pocket presence can keep him from those strip sacks and Slater's goat-like hands. Tom Brady gives you the feeling that a win is always possible no matter what the situation, but I'm not sure he could have pulled out all of these. At this point in the season, I think they would have been 10-3.
I think that's probably plausible.
I think 12-3.
I think the defense stinks, so I think the defense still would have stunk.
Why
do you keep saying
12-3? Either say what they are after 13 games or say what they would be after a 16-game season. You keep saying 12-3.
I said 12-4.
Before they play Buffalo, they'll be 12-3.
In the newspaper, before the season, before Brady got hurt, I predicted 12-4.
Yeah, but I was doing that predicting two upsets. I predicted 12-4 as well. I figured they'd stub their toe a couple of places along
the
line.
Well, with Brady, some of these losses would be upsets.
Yeah, well, I don't think – here's where I disagree with the way the season's unfolded. And again, I agree with Andy. I think that's plausible. I don't think there's any way they would have lost the Jets game. There's no way in my mind that Tom Brady falls behind 24-6. In my opinion, no way. And if they're in a shootout back and forth like that, I think they prevail. Same with the Miami game. Indianapolis, I think, even if the game unfolded the same exact way, they get in and they win. And to me, San Diego at San Diego is a
but
loss
he makes
either
a good
way.
Point.
In
Would
Pittsburgh,
San
I've seen him.
Plan have been the same against Brady as it was Castle.
Indies?
Yeah.
They Indy. Threw the ball almost every play.
I mean, Indy.
How many more times are they going to throw the ball?
Yeah, but they didn't go downfield.
They don't do that against the Patriots anymore.
Well,
because you can't. They don't throw the ball deep very often against
they
the Patriots anymore.
It.
The last three or four times they played.
I can remember Ellis Hobbs breaking up a couple plays in the end zone.
Yeah, a couple of plays. That's all they would do.
Well,
but generally they keep
that's
the ball.
Go ask Teddy Bruschi how they
yards.
Lost the 06 AFC Championship game. He's the one who told me the whole thing. We didn't think Manning would be patient enough to do what he did. He was.
Okay.
That cost us today. But anyway, Pittsburgh, I've seen Brady dissect that defense many, many times before, and I have no reason to think he wouldn't have done it again. I think that was the first time that Castle saw that defense, and it showed.
All right.
First of all, who knows?
Yeah.
It's impossible. It's impossible. But I don't think Castle played a great game against the Jets.
Well,
I think Castle had a great finish against the
Jets.
I mean,
I thought the Patriots would be 12-4 before the season. They're going to be 11-5. That's not bad.
No.
No.
And
bad.
The defense is worse than you thought it was going to be.
Much worse. Much worse.
Well, the defense has been hit harder by injuries
for whatever
than
reason,
we thought it was going to be.
I thought you know, we just said before the season that, hey, this might be even a better defense than last
year.
Yeah,
I thought it would. Well, I didn't think it could be worse, but I was wrong.
Yeah.
See, I didn't think it was as bad as he apparently did, and I think it's terrible.
Look,
right
last
now. I think
year,
the defense
last
stinks.
Year, I thought it was. I didn't think it was a bad defense. I thought it was mediocre. It was okay.
Because we didn't really know.
We didn't know. I mean, I thought it was okay. It wasn't as good as their stats said it was. I knew that.
But I bought in hook, line, and sinker to Thomas on the outside, Mayo in
exactly.
the middle.
I did,
exactly.
too.
Seymour's healthy.
I did,
sure.
too.
I don't care about all the mm-hmm. – even when most of those guys were in there, this defense has been
good.
Terrible
and,
all year.
And, look, we even thought that Fernando Bryant would be okay.
I thought they would be better for all the reasons Andy just said, and I was wrong.
They've been terrible. Terrible. And I know the numbers don't show it, so everybody wants to email in their ranking in this and their ranking in that.
But their rankings aren't good.
I don't. But they're not 29th and 32nd.
No.
This defense, in my mind, is a bottom-of-the-barrel defense.
That's because of Belichick.
When they make plays, they're hanging on to make plays. It's rare that you say, wow, what a play. They're terrible. So that's why I think, yeah, you'd probably win a couple more games, but this would have been no special season because – I think even Brady would have been dealing with an albatross called the defense.
Well, see, it all depends on what you think. You think that the league, there's no special teams, so a couple more wins makes you one of the special teams. So,
well, I mean special season in that this would have been an undefeated season. I think they would have had losses.
I think they would, like I said, I think they would have lost at San Diego.
That defense is a ball and chain around the offense's ankle.
Maybe two losses. Maybe, you know, I'll give them maybe the Indy loss too. I mean, when I looked at it preseason, when I said 12-4, I was predicting a loss at San Diego, a loss at Indy, and a loss at Seattle. Those are the three games I thought they would lose. Now,
see,
Seattle was a playoff
way.
Team. And then I said they'll probably lose a game in the division. That's where I got 12-4.
See, I didn't do it that way. I just
first
said,
he subtracts one game from the schedule.
No, what I did is I just said what's reasonable that they, you know, a reasonable record. Because I didn't go and say here's where the loss is going to come. I just figured it's reasonable. Odds are that they'll lose four games.
Yeah, well, I just looked at the teams they were playing. And I tried to analyze who I thought had talent. Right.
That never
with the
works
Patriots.
Out when you do it that way.
Oh, it often does.
I would say the only one that didn't work out that way was Seattle.
Yeah. But it's so hard. You know, beginning of season, you never know.
You know, last year, week 2, I said they'd go undefeated. They went undefeated. This year, before the season started,
yeah, last week you
I said Tennessee would be 10-0 at the 10-game point, and they were 10-0 at the 10-game point.
You're a liar.
So, seems to work out for Andy, maybe not the rest of you guys.
Somebody's at the
phone. Worked out for me.
At the door.
Hey, this is Vince Wilfork. Now it's time for... What? I ain't doing this.
Thank you, Vince. Good luck with that shoulder. Hopefully you heal that up. I don't know what this has any reference to. Oh, Paul's hate of dogs. Dog dinner. That's dog dinner. That'll and it sounds like something Fred would have had in the man club
that
days.
Would be my sister's face when she was 8 years old.
Could have been a car. You would have never ridden a car again. That was my favorite part of the
no,
show.
No. Not I would never have ridden in a car again.
Never
I would
go near them.
I would hate cars, is you'd what he
cars,
said.
Right.
I would hate cars. An inanimate object now I have to hold responsible right. for that.
Both controlled by a human. Let's see.
That's
JD
where I disagree
writes
with
in,
you.
JD writes in, he says, Paul, Fred, and Andy. And Andy? Insert obligatory gay joke here. Eric, pause to allow Eric to correct Fred's pronunciation of obligatory. Great to meet you guys. Sorry I only bought Paul a beer. Oh, okay, so JD was the person who was sitting near us at the Owl and Thistle.
Well, that was the one that put me over the top, JD. They thought I was drunk after I had that one.
No, you were fine.
Oh, you were
thanks.
Fine.
Yeah, you were
Even
fine.
Even though I had more beers that day than I did the previous
I know.
One.
It's funny how sometimes it affects you
it's
differently.
Yeah.
Sorry I bought Paul a beer who was not drinking, of course, but you all ordered too fast. I didn't want to be the guy who sits at your table and does not leave. The morning tailgate was great. The craft showed up. When I met Mosey Tatupu, I told him I hoped his son had a good game, but the Seahawks lose. He laughed and replied, so long as he finishes healthy. Wise words. I defer to your commentary on the game. That good little player with a concussion came through, and we will just say Junior thought Dion ran out of bounds. Will we have a defense left that will survive running onto the field in a playoff game, etc.? There were only two DBs in our section who kept screaming Brewski while the Pats offense was on the field and various other obscenities. When I looked at them, they gave me the finger. I held up three and said, no, we have three. You have none. That was the refs. Young DB actually screamed back and then shut up. As the Pats fan next to me went, I gave my other ticket to said, I want to win this game just to see their expressions. Okay. So there were some DBs, but, you know.
Well, thank you very much, JD. That was nice of you.
It was.
And
yes.
I wish we,
it's good to meet you.
Yeah, it was kind of a small room, but you were more than welcome to come over.
And
to the
we
table.
Were kind of in a
yeah, we were in a little alcove.
Yeah. Set off from the side.
Right. We figured more people would come over, but
well,
I guess,
you know, I thought they would come over to kiss you a ring or something.
Yeah, right? Sure.
Don Corleone.
You are the famous one. They love you. That woman, Freddie!
Oh, she goes way back. She's from Arizona, actually.
Okay.
She goes way back. Christine in New Jersey.
Paul, why don't you bring that dirty joke on the air?
No, thanks.
Christine in New Jersey says, glad to see that Matt Cassel had another 400-yard game. Oh, wait, I just got my PFW in the mail from 3 weeks ago.
Carol Hardy.
So what do you guys think about all the injuries? Anything new on Brewski, Wilfork, or Warren? If they can pull this off and win the AFC East, I really do feel that Belichick should be considered for Coach of the Year. When you are decimated in every position and still pull off a winning season, you should get recognized. Nice to see the guys pull out the win in Seattle and even it up with the Jets and Finns. I hope to see the Jets plummet not so gracefully out of the playoff picture. It's hard enough to win within walking distance of Giants, live within walking distance of Giants Stadium, but if the Jets got there, that would be the end. As it stands, who is in the best position in the division based on the remaining schedule in terms of tiebreakers?
Well, the Jets in Miami.
Well, we're in the worst.
We're in the worst right. in terms yeah. of the tiebreakers.
Yeah.
We need help. The other teams don't. The Jets in Miami yeah. can win out and they win the division.
They
Either
control
one.
Their own fate. We don't.
So
that's
the Jets in Miami, I think, are in the same position, whereas we're needing help.
Step back.
Yeah.
Right.
And same thing with Baltimore.
Can I ask another
we're
one of those?
Step back from everybody.
Another one of those questions that there is no answer to because it's impossible. But
I'll have an answer. Go.
If you knew they were going into that game without Will Fork and Brewski, Sanders played into the third quarter. So let's say without Will Fork and Brewski, would you have thought that they would win the game going in?
Yes.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
I would too. I agree.
I didn't think Seattle. Now, I may have been swayed by the Seattle fans who were telling me Seattle had no chance.
Why don't you relay that little conversation you had with the man coming on the way to the stadium?
He told me, how do you keep a Seahawk out of your backyard? Put up goalposts. I mean, he gave
pretty
the
much
team
said it all.
Less than zero chance to win that game. Like, they were down as can be. If Fred were a Seattle radio guy, he would have been very upset because they packed it in and thought there was no chance. They may have shown up, they may have cheered, but they didn't think there was a chance in hell they were winning.
No.
And I kind of agreed with them when Seneca Wallace took over, and then he made plays that helped them.
Let's see. On the phone right now is Mike from Sharon. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, getting over a cough like Andy.
Yeah. You get the Z-Pack? The Z-Pack works. I took that, and I'm feeling a lot better.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go get one of those. I was wondering what you guys thought of the whole Dean Pease up in the box experiment. Apparently he came down during halftime or something during the Seahawks game. And then I also had a question for Fred to go bother Flanders about sweatpants to go with the Bill Belichick sweatshirt.
Are they out?
Well, no, they should have them.
Oh, I thought they did.
No, they don't.
Really? Oh, I'll look at that because I remember
mean,
they used to.
They
definitely
used to.
Used to
at
have
some
them.
Point, they had them.
They were very heavy duty, with pockets.
Because they matched. I mean, like the BB sweatshirt is like one of the hottest selling items.
Right.
Yet they don't have the sweatpants to match them. I mean, I have them, but I've gotten like 50 different comments from people saying, "Where did you get them?" And I'm like, "Well, I got them from the team." But
okay. Well, I'll look into that because I know at one time they did have the matching sweatpants. So
yeah, a long, long time ago.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette
he's
Stadium.
He's never there.
He never is.
He's never.
It's ridiculous.
Can you really get him on? Let's give him a call because it is that time of year, and let's.
He just laughs like you're not serious.
No, call him. Let's see if we can get him on the phone. He's in his new digs now. Maybe he picks up the phone.
Flanders is the only useless person here.
All right, Mike. Anything else?
No, but I really want to know what you guys thought of the D's experiment, Dean Pease experiment.
D's Pease coming down. What do you? Any was there any reason given for that?
No.
I
don't really have any.
I mean,
thoughts about
it might be the angle.
I don't really have a care either way. Whatever he's comfortable doing in terms of doing his job.
I think they were trying to change something up on defense and maybe give an advantage. But the thing is, with Rosie and Sayo coming in, you know, they were probably just using their base defense, something that they knew. I mean, they were in for like 27 plays.
Right.
It was probably just easier to have an extra defensive coach on the sideline to help out.
That probably is part of it. And they probably thought they had a feel for what Seattle was doing. It was brought about a couple weeks ago for Miami because they got caught with their pants down and didn't react to that. And they thought personnel-wise they could react quicker with Dean seeing things from up in the box. But I still get back to, I think you can do it either way, and I think whatever he's more comfortable with is the most important thing because they certainly don't need their coordinator facing an uphill battle with the struggles they've had on defense.
You're right. Charlie used to do go back and forth a little bit,
right,
too. And Charlie used to always talk about liking the fact when he was on the sideline that he could talk to the players. He could see them in the face, look at them in the eye, and tell them what he wanted to tell them and get his message across. But he did
you
do it.
Rely on the player to tell you what's going on in the field. So you gain one way, you lose the other.
Yeah.
You think we're going to see Romeo back next year?
I think it's a possibility.
Sure,
if he wants to come back, I think there will be a door open for him. I don't think there was any reason for him to not be brought back.
I would agree with Andy.
Yeah, and I saw Pioli and Belichick hugging him when Cleveland came over, and you know that usually doesn't happen before the game, and it did that.
I think there's still a good relationship there.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike from Sharon calling in. Did you get Flanders on the phone?
He just giggled. He doesn't take you seriously.
I'm serious. Call him.
Threaten to fire him.
I'm not kidding. Get him on the phone.
Now he's uncomfortable. His ears are turning red.
Fred, no, just call him.
Fred sounds like Howard Stern right now. I'm serious. Can you get him? Can you get him? I want him on the phone now.
No, I just want to.
He won't answer.
It takes probably like 20 minutes to figure out that he's really serious.
I think our fans would appreciate hearing what's going on in the pro shop.
What did you think of that game last night, Freddie? Did you watch much of that? Carolina, Tampa?
A little bit in the first half.
Yeah, that's about all I saw.
Yeah.
I was
a little bit tired.
I saw evidently a different game broke out in the second half.
Yeah.
It was 10-3 when I stopped watching.
Yeah, they couldn't stop the run. Both Stewart and Williams were just going.
How did Tampa score?
They set a franchise record. Antonio Bryant, your boy, comeback player of the year or whatever, had a diving one-handed catch of the year type catch.
I saw that
zone
on the highlights, and I saw that he had 200 yards receiving in the game.
But did you see?
You didn't score. What are you making fun of me for?
Carolina,
I said that. You said, all right.
Carolina got screwed. They set a franchise record for rushing at 299. They had 300 till they kneeled to end the game.
Calling Ken.
Hi.
That happened to Lendale White, too, by the way. He had 100 yards, and he lost a yard in his last carry and finished with 99.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
All right, well, we tried.
What does he do?
Barry Insiong writes in.
Barry!
Glad to hear that you're able to make it to the Owl and Thistle on Saturday night and meet some of the Pats fans there. It was a good opportunity for some of your listeners to put a face to a name. I missed it as we didn't arrive until Sunday morning, but had a fantastic time there at the Showbox on game day. Well over 200 Pats fans showed up. Mosey Tatupu was happily taking pictures and signing autographs. And then the big surprise of the day was Robert and Jonathan Kraft arriving and speaking to the group.
I think you need to accentuate this, Fred. How appreciative all the fans. They were writing in droves.
The whole place erupted in cheers when they stepped on the stage like they were rock stars. Also wanted to say thanks to you guys for helping Chris Porter and I get the word out about the party, as it clearly worked very well. Kyle Passetti, however, gets the MVP award as he was instrumental in Mosey in the Kraft showing up, so we owe him big time. As for next week, rather than tailgating in the stadium parking lots in Oakland, we'll be meeting up at Jillian's at the Metreon in San Francisco, where we'll be safe from their rowdy fans. They open at 9:30 a.m., and then at 11:30, we'll be all taking the BART, which is their subway, over to the stadium. Anyone going to the Raiders game can find more information at the Patriots Tailgate Club, which can be found at the F-Corps. That's the fan club official registry on Patriots.com.
Now, did he really write that?
Yeah.
Okay. Because last time he was here, he referenced a different.
Hope you had a good time hanging out on Saturday night, and hopefully we can keep the momentum of this network of Pats fans at road games going.
So Kyle Passetti, well done.
Yes.
Influential in getting Mr. Kraft there.
Yep.
Why didn't you get a camera there, too?
Mosey.
I'm sure if Kyle could have been there, he would have, you know.
Certainly.
So now everybody.
Good job by Kyle.
People are emailing in things for Paul to see on YouTube about dogs biting people.
Thanks, everybody. I know I play the buffoon sometimes, but this one's real. This really happened.
Let's see. Cormac from Ireland. Hey, guys. Eric and Dos Gender. Hope you are well and celebrating the Pats remaining in playoff contention. I see some people on the PFW forum suggesting there's actually more chance we win our division than get a wild card spot. For clarity, Could one of you please break down the remainder of the regular season and the permutations we need in regards to the Pats making it past Week 17?
We need to do this story.
What do you foresee that may happen to see us get into the playoffs?
They need to win out. And I think they need Baltimore to struggle in tough games.
Yeah.
I think you're asking a lot. Here's what you need.
You need the Jets to lose to Buffalo this week, and then you need the Jets to beat Miami in Week 17 while the Patriots win out. That wins you the division.
Right.
But you need both.
See, I think the simplest way is to ask Baltimore to not be able to live up to a tough schedule.
Yeah.
See, I think that's the easiest way.
That's
just
why,
simple.
That's why
a rookie quarterback
that,
runs out of gas in a tough schedule.
But that's exactly why I said that. The same thing. I thought the wild card was easier. I think it's more likely that
Baltimore will lose two games than
one of those teams is going to lose.
And I'm basing this. I know Fred doesn't look at the schedule and predict one team is better than the other, but Baltimore has losable games. I think it's a bigger upset to keep thinking the Jets are just going to fumble and bumble their way through the end of the season. I mean, two weeks ago they were Super Bowl champions, and now they can't beat anybody.
The fact that they still have playoff hopes right now is all you could ask for, and they do, because it could happen.
But the problem is they lose basically all tiebreakers.
But everybody's just like, the Jets can lose another game. Well, yeah, they can. But Miami would also have to lose another game.
No, but see, Paul, if you look at it this way, right now they're tied. The Jets and or Miami are guaranteed
a loss.
One loss more. They one of them has to have one loss. So if the Patriots win out, they beat one of them automatically.
Right.
So we're only hoping for one of them to have two losses to win the division.
No, you need them both to lose one game.
He just told you that.
No, I understand that, but one of them's already guaranteed that.
So you need another one to lose a game, but it needs to be the different one.
That's right.
But it needs to be the different team that loses the last game.
Right. Oh, I see what you're saying. Right. So they need to lose one of the other two games.
Right.
So whoever wins the Miami Jets game has to have lost one of the other games.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
You need two losses. Not just one. You can't just count on that last game.
Right.
In games where they're favored. They're winnable games.
Yeah. If the Jets were playing Baltimore and Dallas, then I would say that a better chance that the Jets
are going
to win.
That's why I lean towards the Baltimore. You hope that a rookie quarterback running up against good teams runs out of gas.
So people know, the reason why we keep talking about Baltimore is the Colts are the other wild card team. They can't win their division because Tennessee already has it locked up. But the Colts have only three losses, right?
Four.
They have four.
They would need to lose two games.
They need to go one and two over the next three.
And Baltimore, I think, if they lose to Pittsburgh and it's tied, they would still have the tiebreaker or no? Do we know that one yet?
I believe they still have it.
Okay. I don't know the answer to that question. Now, if they lose to Dallas, I know that they have a better conference record than the Patriots.
Right.
I think Baltimore would have the tiebreaker because they have a better conference record.
If they lose to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. See, I don't know that one.
Well, plus their last game is against
Houston. Yeah, because we're 7-5.
Jacksonville. So that's another. They
ain't losing to Jacksonville.
We'd be 7-5, and I believe they'd be 8-4. Because I believe they're 7-3, right? I think they have three conference losses now.
Yeah, you're right, because they lost a game to the Giants.
That would be their fourth.
They lost an NFC game.
Right. Yeah.
So
Baltimore 7-3.
We already have
five conference losses.
Right. So we need the Baltimore to lose two of their remaining three games.
Which is plausible. I mean, it could certainly happen.
Which is definitely plausible.
I think it's the most plausible scenario of all the scenarios.
Yeah.
But I also think they're playing pretty good football, so you're kind of still asking for something beyond
50-50. I know.
Did we just talk Fred jump off the ship?
In the back, I still have the feeling that either Jets or Miami are going to lose two out of three. I really do.
Well, like I said, that might not help you.
If the Patriots win out, it does.
If the other team wins all three, then you can't tie with them. You can't tie with either one of them.
That's going to be how we do it. We're going to win the division.
Okay. That's possible.
But you
need
both teams.
It's definitely possible.
I know.
You need both teams
to lose.
One of them losing two out of three doesn't necessarily help you. If the Jets win out,
you need to win the division. Miami loses two out of three. You need to stand alone atop the standings. You can't be tied. This is like a sobering conversation we just had with Fred.
Now, that's provided that the winning out thing with the Patriots.
Right. Patriots have to win out.
I also don't think the Patriots are going to win out, but that's another argument altogether.
It's going to be tough. That's why it's an intriguing and exciting season.
It's going to be an exciting season when you're at home.
It's coming right down to the end, you know?
I was plenty intrigued wondering if they were going to be able to go 16-0 last year.
And I was excited when they were throwing bombs and Moss was making catches. And
Cormac also says, on a much more important note, I see that Andy feels he's off the hook with the Irish contingent. You can tell him I'll be bringing him over a can of leprechaun whoop-ass when I come over to see the Cardinals. Yes, really looking forward to that. I'll have
better
a box
Lucky
of
Charms.
Christmas goodies for you guys.
Jackpot.
From Paul in London and from me. We'll also be buying lunch.
Yay! When's this?
Hey, what's going on
the
over
Cardinals
there in Europe?
Game.
Do they all like, you know, you can be in London, Iowa, whatever, and it's just like being like, you know, 5 minutes apart
right.
for everybody?
All
well,
right,
I'm going to stop in London with Paul and pick up a care package for you.
All right, mateys, you be good to each other. Remember, always let Eric lick the bone if he plays good doggy. What?
Oh. Not touching
it. In all seriousness, what's like London in Dublin, Ireland? Like, what's the distance there?
600 miles.
Is it that far?
Do you
no
know?
Idea.
Do you know?
I don't know. Maybe three hours driving.
It's
maybe.
Across.
You take the tunnel, right?
I'm somewhat in the tunnel.
I don't know. Doesn't that connect something to something
that?
Underwater? Isn't that underwater tunnel? Oh, I see London. I see France.
I thought that was London, France, Paris. But I'm somewhat embarrassed. I don't realize how close that.
Well, I mean, they're clumped in there, so it's.
Here's another permutation. If we went out. And so do the Jets and the Dolphins, except they tie, we win.
That's not winning out then.
Right.
If we went out and so do they, but they tie.
That would be something, huh?
It would be something.
It would be something that could only get the Patriots in the playoffs.
And you also
know,
anybody
Fred, else.
They could be the first 11-5 team to not make the postseason.
Yeah, and one of the papers wrote the ignominious that they want to avoid that ignominious ending to the season. I don't think there's anything ignominious about having the best record ever not to make the playoffs.
And it's actually
all
just
kind shows
of funny
you that you're unlucky,
in the year
all.
That we said everybody stinks that a team with an 11-5 record won't make the postseason.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to happen. But
it might
we'll
not.
See what happens. See how it all ends.
Let's see. Chris from the Bronx says, I'm 40 years old today.
Hey!
And for inspiration.
He's a man!
She says, for inspiration, I've been watching the YouTube clip of the Oklahoma State coach, Mike Gundy, screaming, I'm a man, I'm 40. Right.
Sorry.
While I'm heartened by the Pats' fourth quarter effort against the Seahawks, I'm also scared witless by the first two quarters when they were dominated by a two-win team. I like the fact that Dean Pease started to blitz more. I know the young DBs will get burned here and there, but that experience will help in the long run. Will they continue that blitz pressure in the next three games? Along those lines, would you rather the Patriots get a top-tier pass rusher or cornerback next year, assuming they can't have both? Coverage and pressure go hand in hand, and it seems that both hands have been empty for the Pats this season. Lastly, could you do me a favor and ask the EEI guys to spend Patriots Monday talking about the Red Sox more? I'm really excited about a rookie minor league Japanese pitcher and possible talks with CC Sub Sandwicha, especially when the local professional football team is fighting for its playoff life. Thanks, guys. Happy to note that my wife and I have moved to Connecticut, where we get Pats games on TV. Life is good, even at 40.
Congrats.
So that's good. So Chris is
so
no
Chris
longer,
in Connecticut now will be our favorite lunch
Chris
buyer.
In Connecticut. That's good. It's getting closer.
Closer he gets, the more lunches we get.
That's right. You've got a lot of emails here.
That was a question we posed earlier. Maybe that the pressure, they feel like they've reached a point where pressure is their only option. Kind of like we said, Seattle had nothing to lose, just throw it at them.
Yeah.
Have the Patriots reach that point? Will we see more blitzes?
I do. And especially, they may not start games like that, but I think during games, you've seen that a little bit over the course of the season, that they've been selling out to stop those third downs. Yeah,
I've seen enough of the DBs giving up plays without it. I'd rather just see him give up plays with it.
And I totally agree. And you saw the fear is giving up a big play, which almost happened on Sunday because, by all accounts, and Bill even said this, I think, on Monday, Deion Branch was wide open.
Right.
But you see how hard it is to execute that play. That's why Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are special. That's why Dan Marino
is
special.
That's what I was
going
to say. Especially when you play a Seneca Wallace or a Andrew Walter, Jamarcus Russell.
I wouldn't necessarily take that approach against the Colts.
Right.
I'm just going to sit here and send everybody on a third down play because he'll beat you. Right, John?
I agree.
John Rooks here. John, how you doing?
Excellent. How come you guys didn't stay out in San Jose?
No need, really. If there was a need, we would have.
Breaking news.
Well, Eric's there.
Eric's okay. there.
All right.
We do have our...
Sure. We're covered.
I want to make sure.
I won't get in trouble for that. Like, okay. I got in trouble over the weekend.
I got to tell you, though, I've been...
You got in trouble
Olympics.
Over the weekend?
Yeah.
What happened?
We didn't have coverage at a pep rally Sunday morning where Mr. Kraft was.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I'm in...
At a place
deep
that Fred
voodoo.
Convinced Mr. Kraft to go.
Yeah, Fred's the one who told him to go. And then wasn't...
Told Mr. Kraft to go.
Yeah.
And then you guys didn't show up.
Yeah. Told is probably a strong word. Well, more like suggested.
Requested.
Yeah. So my feet
pleaded.
Are,
yeah,
my
yeah.
feet are feeling the fire.
Gotcha. Well, okay.
And in turn, now we're feeling the fire because if Fred goes, we all go. Let's face it.
So. Well, yeah, it's true.
How do you feel
It'll
about
Patriots playbook for 6 hours?
I'm not so sure John would be around anymore.
It's also true. You never know. It's kind of fragile on here. You saw the NFL laid off some folks today, right?
Yeah, 150.
How about that? See, yeah. it's just the tip of the iceberg.
I know.
It's getting everybody. Yep. Getting everybody right now.
So what are
but
you talking
Fred's
about
guy's
today?
Got a new plan. He's going to build some roads and put internet in schools, and that'll turn everything around.
Yeah,
Fred's
right.
guy?
Good attitude.
Is that, what's
Who's
his
guy?
Name? O something or
yeah,
other?
Yeah, O something.
Yeah, right.
He's Irish.
Oh, poop.
Obama.
Oh, Fred's guy. I didn't get what you were talking about.
Fred's guy.
Now I
Fred's
see.
Fred's guy is our guy. Don't you ever forget.
He is the,
did
he
I not,
is the president-elect.
He is our
elect.
Guy.
Did I not
he,
make that declaration the day after the election, Fred?
You did,
I vouched
no, I did
I vouched
too, and I'm supporting him.
That doesn't sound like support.
I was just bringing up his plan.
Yeah.
He has a plan.
He is our president
does that mean,
now, and
just
we
because
support
we support
him.
Him, does that mean we can't criticize
until
him?
He
can't
screws
until
up.
Until he gets into office, please.
Well, this is well,
the country
of,
might be dead by
this
then.
This is sort of unprecedented.
Well, whose fault is that?
The Constitution.
Nobody's.
There should be an out. He should be in office now.
And there's sort of
there's decisions
the way
being made that are going to change the future of this
they
nation.
They have to plan the party. Don't you know this?
Right.
And he's
that's
sort
what he's
of,
worried about. Now, can we get Oprah for the full week, or is she only going to be there? How long?
He is sort of
she bringing her
like
boyfriend?
Waiting in uncharted territory here with this whole president-elect podium and everything. I mean, it's like a whole new office that he's creating.
Somebody has to take charge.
The office of president-elect, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a little ridiculous.
People won't like this show.
All right, John, what are you talking about today?
Let's see. Football?
Yeah.
Let's see. Patriots defense or lack thereof.
Yeah.
Let's see. What? Anything else?
Taking calls on people who can play linebacker, maybe passing it along to Bill.
I thought
injuries?
Maybe we'd kind of. I thought we'd kind of like you know open it up to
open
see,
tryouts.
See if anybody would like to try out for.
Well,
linebacker.
Bill did it on the radio yesterday.
Yeah.
He did. I listened
to
it. I heard it.
Yeah.
Said Steve, you got any, you know some time left? We can sign you for a while. Yeah, absolutely.
Tippett might get the call.
Tippett could said he could go six or seven.
Hey, if you're gonna, yeah. I mean, why not? He's a Hall of Famer.
He's got a better chance than DeAssi does.
That's for sure.
Well, yeah, yeah.
He was
play.
Good once.
He could play when he was. In
can you guys?
Yeah, but Paul, he's played the game.
No, I know.
Can you guys name a time in recent memory where you can think though of one position on the team being as depleted as this linebacker is?
Well, it just seems every year the defensive secondary takes hits. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we're talking key guys now. You know, Dalis Thomas and Teddy Bruschi.
I think the linebacker has been. Ridiculous. Yeah.
And
this
we have to pray that Vince
everybody,
more
the guy on
back.
The practice squad who was your emergency fill-in is hurt.
Really, two
Vince
of them.
Vince Red.
Oh, really, two of them. Because I know Crable wasn't on the practice squad, but he was kind of your emergency
right.
fill-in guy
right.
before
was,
the practice
I mean,
squad.
But I mean, Red
guy.
Was like was. 12th or 15th on the depth chart to start the year, and the only person who liked him was me, and now you're wishing he was healthy so he could play.
But I really think if Wilfork doesn't come back, now you have to change your defense because no one can do what he does.
I don't think
but
there's any question about
linebacker?
It.
Right. Well, I know. That's,
no one can do a lot of things you
come a lot
need
closer,
done.
Though, like if Will Fork doesn't come back for whatever reason, if he didn't come back and you can slide into a 4-3, doesn't the makeup of the rosters tell you that at least by the numbers you have a better shot at putting competitive guys out there if you're only playing three linebackers as opposed to four?
I just don't think you have the linemen either.
That's what I thought they were going to do last game, and they had Vrabel and that's sort of playing a lineman type position.
They had Vrabel up front with Seymour and Wilfork inside, Vrabel and Jarvis Green outside. But that lasted one series.
Because I was on BCN before the game, and they asked me about Seau and Coleman. I said, they won't play a lot.
But you were right. Bill said that.
Right.
We didn't plan on playing
them
that
much. In theory,
no.
They would have played maybe three or four plays.
Right.
I thought that. And
that's
when I
what,
saw
Bill's,
them come
that's
in the
what
game,
Bill's plan was.
When I saw them come into the game in the second quarter, I'm like going, uh-oh, this is not good.
Yeah.
It's not good for Wilfork, and it's not good for Bruschi,
and
especially.
What about Gary Guyton, though? Because he kind of got displaced in that. What
he
does
got
that
exposed.
Say about him?
I think Guyton, showed that
he
wasn't
was a tweener guy coming in. That's why he wasn't drafted, because no one knew what he was going to play.
I agree. Yeah.
And in his situation, right, in a situational role and third downs, running around a little bit, he was okay as the fastest linebacker coming out. But now asking him to play every down and play the run, get a little exposed.
It's tough.
All right, John. Well, we'll leave it to you. As for our listeners, we'll see you tomorrow if I'm still with the company.